Good morning, everybody. This is Mohamed Francis Masika, President, National Textiles. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alfie Sundanazi. I'm the General Secretary of the National Textiles.
Morning. My name is Ibushani Mpamba from National Textiles Plasma.
My name is Singa from Elemental Media Group.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kisha Bishita, the Comics Association.
My name is Singa from Elemental Media Group.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kisha Bishita, the Comics Association.
One, I'm Valerie Carter, and I'm the committee chair. Good morning, my name is John Dutton from Governor Services, and part of the Scarlet Foundation.
Good morning, my name is Andrew Sifala from Sabor.
Subi Murat, Sabor.
Good morning,
I'm Sabor. Good morning, I'm Sabor. Good morning,
I'm Eric Cornelius, Sabor. I'm Jackie Wolf, Sabor.
We have joined by one of our members.
Good morning, my name is Sharon, first of all, committee member.
Okay, before we start to go in further with our meeting, okay, we have joined by our members.
What was the request that we let us adjust ourselves so that we can?
Maybe, like in terms of our seating, it's good because we can see other people inside, and also to sensitize our staff members, like they must be quick in terms of helping us with microphones. The person who's responsible must take care of us. But I would request that you take one microphone and give the people what are just coming in now. You are welcome. We'll give you an opportunity to introduce yourself as well. Give them an opportunity to introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Kevin Songwene, President of South African Communities Organization.
Mother Pedagogy, Kamalam Gokulu Airco Freedom Castle Church, Deputy President Shako.
Morning, everybody. My name is Rachel DeCarlis, under the Greater Soweto Committee.
Morning, everybody. My name is Lake Chilwani, and I'm already NCCF and FACO.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Anas Marka from Social Veterans Community Forum.
Morning, everybody. Ikabalani Yule Yabafango, Buya Kumpumalanga Community Organization in PDGM and FACO.
Thank you very much. If I present it in time, what I'm able to do at the moment is just to check you on board. And we have invited most of you to come here
The purpose of this meeting is to assist us as a portfolio committee so that we are able maybe to take a solemn approach in terms of dealing with your matters. And then also what I want to clarify is that please, you know, some people they start maybe to raise some eyebrows about why you call this, why you bring me with this or this. No. Let me correct that one. We all belong to one flag in South Africa. And we all belong to one flag in South Africa. And our responsibilities, part of our responsibilities as a portfolio committee, is to listen to the views of the people. Coincidentally, yourself, as you are here, you are representing the majority which are not here. So, that is in short. And then, without wasting any time in terms of our agenda, I'd like to give this opportunity to Sabuwa to start with their input. Over to you. Before we start, what we want to request is that each and every people who are going to be given an opportunity to give a presentation, try to make it around 20 minutes, so that we can give members an opportunity to interact with your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the opportunity of inviting us to the Portfolio Committee and Council. We prepared a presentation and we did circulate the presentation here, so hopefully everyone is ready. So let's focus on the main items of the presentation. I think the main purpose of today's meeting, from our point of view, is financial crisis in this industry. And we'd like to illustrate that by means of a cost model, then show you what the implications have been on hard-tier bus operators, and then some initiatives that we've had, or initiatives we've had at the time to deal with this, and some conclusions, and then options for dealing with the funding issue. We're also looking at the empowerment of our SME bus operators, and then some operation issues that I think affects all of the land-based public transport operators in the country. Our problem is that since public transport operations grants have been implemented, a supplementary bond that the stations have not murdered the cost of stations within the industry itself. And that gap has been developing, and we'll show you that gap in a few minutes. But the purpose of the DTRG, which we don't have much arguments with, is that the passenger volumes based on the passenger subsidy, so the change of kilometer based subsidy. And then also the ring into funding at the provincial level and also the change into, as I mentioned, to the kilometer-based subsidy system. And then a 3-year forward-looking view on the subsidy. But the problem around this DTRG is it's seen as a supplementary grant, and it's expected by Treasury that the provinces will pick up the difference between what they grant to the DOT in terms of these contracts and the difference in that administration clause. And this is not happening at all anywhere in the country. And I must stress the following. The contractual relationship, all of our companies that are funded through the PPOG have contracts. And these contracts specify the station formula, they specify the timetables that must be operated, the fare levels that should be charged, the routes and service frequencies, routes to be operated on the service frequencies, route kilometers to be operated, the must be approval of fare increases, and also specifies age profile, I must say, as year two. At the same time, the industry is really affected by exchange rate, as you see the rate in the last 14 years, pushing fuel has come down a bit, about them is that input costs of the industry are based on dollars and euros, and we cannot control that. Then also the bargaining council for the industry determines annual wages that we have to remunerate our staff. If you look at the input costs, it's estimated for the triple EU workers to deal with the DTI and DOT, that between 60% of costs are affected by exchange rates, such as engines, which are all imported, jet bottles are imported, gear axles are imported, gas, electronics, diesel costs, as well as the product or manufactured internationally, ticket machines and stuff. So large percent of our costs are really based on the volatility of the rand dollar exchange. And it is estimated that this will worsen as we go forward, was 13 rand to 7 billion on average. But to compensate for these costs and also these requirements in the contracts that the provinces set us, there are agreed escalation formula. I'm not going to go into this in detail because we don't have the time, but it does have the consumer price index as part of the escalation, a labor index, which is the labor index, and also a fuel index here. Yeah. And then we have the weighting of these in the formula. In terms of the consumer price index, is 0.47% of our costs, 10% due to labor, and 15% fuel. But the big problem with that is restricting 0.15, the efficiency factor that's built into this escalation formula, which is very counterproductive. It means that if you 15% of your costs are not escalated at all. And this has begun on since 1997. This is the DORA increases. This is about a few of these for interim contract operators in Gauteng. The first year, this compensates operators in retrospect for the previous year's expenses. The previous year, we know what the land did in 2008-09, the poor economy. So this was the compensation for work year before. We had a 6% reduction in the production of DORA, and you can see if you look at average, the average over these years should have been 6.54%, only average 2.99%. Now, and if you look forward, this year, for instance, the discussion should have been, we only have, if you look at the year, should have been 2.27, and now we have 2.21. And going forward, we'll see that in 2016-17, we only have 4% of that was 167 million, and 6% in 2018, and that's 110. But this year, there's another cap of 130 million in terms of public health operations, not the top problems that we're experiencing. So this 2.2% is clearly unacceptable and problematic. And let me explain that. If you only look at labor costs, you only need to take labor costs between 30-40% of total operating costs of a bus company, and increase that by 10%, the total operating cost increases by 54% already, just on labor. Forget about the other costs that are linked to the fuel and inflation and your imported engines, gearbox, chassis, and so on. So there's clearly a problem with this way of escalating these contracts. And we've had historically low, high fuel costs, although it's a bit low now, it's not that much higher, lower than maybe a year or so ago. I'm not going to go into this model in detail. Members have that. In essence, what it means, what we've done here is look at index here, we've indexed the costs. And then we increase the subsidy revenue here based on the public transport operations costs. And the passengers' fares here, from a revenue point of view, based on the typical operators in the Gauteng province. Employment costs here, we estimated by means of the bargaining council rates approved every year, or second or third year. The fuel costs, this is at the wholesale price of diesel in Gauteng. Maintenance costs is PPI index, which is as close as we could get to this, but you can imagine the maintenance costs are also dollar related, and then other costs. And you'll see that from a revenue point of view, our revenue increased basically going forward by 37% over this 6-year period. That's the difference between the index of 100 and 136.95. But our expenditure went up 37% from 90 to 141. And the profit margin for our company reduced every year, typical of our company, from 10% down to -4%, which we find ourselves in at this point in time. And if you put this in the graph, you'll see that from a revenue point of view, it crosses over to 12-13 typical operators, and the costs go up, it crosses here, and you see the net loss situation also depicted in this graph at the bottom here, negative picture. It's also showing a profitable situation, and companies need to make profits, Mr. Chairman, to replace equipment it's well deserved and so on. Every company has to do that. At the break-even point, you can see what's in the DRC. Based on that graph, then they had the loss, entered in the loss situation as they saw 2013-14 and 2014-15. And this loss, as you can see, is going to widen as we go forward and look at the trend line that we have there. So you go, so our subsidies increased by 50% over 6 years, while operating costs increased by 57%. So these are the little away from movement. You have to pass more towards the passenger, or you have to reduce your scale of services to reduce your costs. And here you can see it, you know, look at the subsidies, as a dollar increases based on based on those contracts, from 50 to 57, and the cost 90 to 141. And what the thing is, there's a major issue as far as this is concerned. So our expenditure keeps increasing at a fast rate in revenue. All bus companies will fail eventually. This is the reality that they have. Some may fail earlier, some may fail later, but we have major crisis in our hands. Profitability cash flow problems are unavoidable, and our service product to the bus passengers, the condition, maintenance and so on, will be affected. So it's an unsustainable business model. If we apply the escalation formula in the contracts, or in some contracts, we'll see it exceeds this cost line we have consistently, and the operator is consistently in a profitable situation, acceptable profitable situation. This is clearly not the case if you compare the two. This is what we have at this point in time, the last situation costs over this year, and this is what it should have been like based on the escalation formula in these income contracts. So one of the results of this obviously has been the withdrawal of the Mongolia area and elsewhere, the services that they have had there. We looked at the operators of Gauteng, their costs, with their permission, we used some of the data they get in Gauteng provincial government to deal with a restructuring and the path teams to see what they have to assist the operators. And you see, based on the contracts that on that data, you see the number of staff between 2008 and 2014 remained more or less flat. And this is an agreement with the contracts that we have. You can't right-size your contracts at all if you need the approval and not getting the approval from these provinces to right-size contracts based on this understanding issue. You see the number of route kilometers operated, about 100 million a year, over a year, in the Gauteng province, but so operators that we survey there, more or less flat. And but if you look at the trips operators present with scheduled trips, the trend line there you see is down. And if you look at the passengers per bus ratio, you see average transport is 180 passengers per day per bus. If you work in that amount, you can see it's coming down. This is also linked obviously to the poor economy that we have at this point in time. So the annual passengers are coming down, and the passengers, if you look at the passengers per route kilometer, it's basically at one. The trend line you see here, that low one there, you see a few weeks flat we took in 2013, it's just a very high increase, and we couldn't afford that. They forced our arm eventually in any case, they had to give in on some of their demands. But 2013 was affected by that previous strike with that. If you look then at the breakdowns per month, you'll see on the left actually here, on average per bus per month, you see it was between 0.5 and 0.6 in 2008. Has increased, you look at the trend line, to about 0.8 per bus. It's close to the point where every bus has some breakdown or another in the fleets that operate in there. We're talking here about 2,500 buses at the survey in those three companies. This is the disturbing one, Mr. Chairman, is that the bus replacements, and this is the effect, we believe, of DORA and understanding of the industry, is the bus replacements on the downward trend. You'll see, in 2009, we replaced about 25 buses with Gauteng problems as they come down. Now, at the end of 2014, we are just about 50 buses, and this is our fleet of 2,500 buses. It's not stable. We should be replaced about 250 buses per year to maintain an average fleet age of 10 years, which is a contractual requirement. And this is the issue around funding. You have to make profit at the end to reinvest your fleet, which you're not doing at this point in time. And this has long-term implications. It also means that when these services are put out to contract, that your costs are going to be enormous in those contracts because you have to capitalize your fleet. Your fleet will be a rather new fleet instead of an average age of 10 years. Now, we've had many meetings, Department of Transport involved, many meetings with the Department of Finance, Treasury twice. We just had that council with the DRT about 2 weeks ago. We've met this committee twice, which is the third time. and the community society in the Western Cape, they have to start to stop back rather than also and so on. But we've not been able to resolve this. And one of those associations, 170,000 removed from even about Germiston, Edison, Mamelodi, about a month ago. But what's also disturbing for us as an industry is that there's been a moratorium on industry growth for 14 years. It's not been allowed to grow as an industry. Since 2001, there's been no new tender contracts, 14 years, and since 2003, no new negotiated contracts. And since 2009, since just of the Division of Revenue Act, Capital Corporations Grant, there's annual cap on kilometers it may operate. Despite amazing need for buses, it's not allowed to keep that cap at all. If you do that, it's its own cost. So there's no growth in this industry at all. It's not allowed to grow. If you look at the DOT's long-term plans, you're looking at 50% per annum growth at moving people from motor cars to public transport. And this is one form of public transport that's being held back artificially because of the lack of funding. So, on the cost basis of these contracts, that is interim contracts, have not been renewed since 1997, which is now 18 years. So those costs, the cost proportions of the escalation form is entirely wrong. But yet, if you look at VRTs, they are better. They have better escalation clauses there, and the cost of better balance between those clauses. But this is also a huge problem. In some of these contracts, the escalation for fuel is 10.2% of overall costs. At one stage, our fuel cost was over 30% of total operating costs. But through this funding, and the DOT assisted us in compiling this figure, we have about 22.7 billion being invested in public transport in the country. The public transport operations grant, this is in 2012-13, 4.3 billion. The systems grant, the network grant, 4.8. The taxi is at 0.7 million. Scholar subsidies, this is now some provinces involved in scholar subsidies, for all the provinces. Education departments, all the provinces of transport, 1.2 billion. The municipal bus subsidies, 7.9 million. The provincial bus subsidies, this is from the top, like in the Eastern Cape, where they also fund public transport, 9.8 million. And then Prasa, 10.2 billion. Now this figure excludes Gautrain. I believe the Gautrain subsidy for this year will be about 1.3 billion, which is only about 1% of passenger trips in the country. So we have to ask ourselves a question about BRTs. Are they value for money? The bus rail is doing well, the BRTs, but you can't use a BRT bus or conventional bus in general, put the balls on the wrong side of the bus, and so on. And this value for money proposition should look at because of our low urban densities, the operational and infrastructural cost of these systems, not only now, also the future. That's carry these costs going into the future, 20, 30 years from now. And the potential opportunity cost of investing these funds elsewhere in the public transport system, even if it's only a portion. And the thing we're looking at is this 4.8 billion, which is enormous, considering the passengers that public transport are on VRTs at this point in time and in the future. It's not ready for money proposition. But it's sort of difficult to find out what the real costs are of these VRTs. And Philip Swanhoff here in the Western Cape has some work for the Treasury. And what's interesting now is look at the operating cost of passenger carrying on conventional buses in the metropolitan setup. He looked at six metropolitan areas, it's 52 rand per bus passenger, operating cost of that bus passenger. VRTs for this one, phase one of my city is 29.79. You may say it's not a big difference, but this figure excludes the vehicle capital costs and it excludes station costs and things like security and so on. So it's not a full cost picture you're seeing here. It's estimated that if you look at the subsidy per passenger difference here between the conventional and if you look at the entire industry, not in the metropolitan side here, that difference would be as much as 7-1. From subsequent years. We have to ask ourselves whether we have to roll out these VRTs countrywide to this extent, and there's so many, isn't there another option to look at, like we have in many international countries? So, we find ourselves as an industry between the DOT, the moratorium was in contrast since 2001, no expansion been allowed since 2001, and then again 2009, the bottom of this contrast. The provinces themselves that accepted these contracts, which was involved from the DOT to them, but they don't contribute to them. They don't add, they don't, in terms of the conditional grant, they don't, the supplementary grant, they don't contribute to these contracts. And we go that We don't have, from a provincial point of view, we don't have proper plans at this point. Huh? If you could easily, at the other end, borrow stop transportation ground plans for them, ignoring actual cost pressures in the industry. And they insist that there should be IPPs in place before they put additional funding in place. I know that they're not there at this point in time. We find ourselves in the middle, as industry between these three role players, between Christian and DOT in the provinces, no growth throughout the industry, and we have valid annual inflation forces are ignored. And the fourth player, potentially, based on the National Land Transport Act, is really the Metro and local government. They've been unable to develop these public transport plans. That is nothing being devolved to this level, and this should rationalize these services and then include the IPs involved for the most of transport. So the problem that we have is that we think it's clear that a two-tier public transport system is developing. First of all, hard train and the BRTs are very specific routes, as well as 150 billion eventually that will be spent on metro rail to Plaza, and left over is commuter bus to the taxi industry, which is really the bulk of the service. The majority of people, if you add the taxi market share and the bus market share together, you're looking at about 85-89% of all the passenger trips on both modes of transport, and they're not getting the attention they should be getting. And the lack of IPPs at the metro and local government level seems to be some years away. We've now had 2 years of extensions of some of these contracts, it's indicative that there are problems around these things. And we have no control over that as an industry. So what are our options? We will continue the services, we withdraw the last major service like we've done so far. Also those that we do based on community pressure, non-subsidized benefit has been withdrawn. We've postponed reducing standard bus replacement programs, but the scary thing for us is that companies may start keeping our maintenance. We could also maximize the services that are bus frequencies, but the provinces don't check this, they don't want this, because it's politically sensitive. So you put three provincial agendas, three agendas, national profit agendas of the industry, where you go. It's only one way, this is downwards, at the end of the day. What we've been saying is if you look at just what we mean by rationalizing the services, if you have a subsidy allocation of $1 billion and your contract rate of long is 20 rand, and if you have a 5% increase in your cost side, that 20 rand becomes 21 rand, and so PTOG is 4%, it goes up in a year to 1.04 billion. That gives you what you can operate in 49,000 kilometers. And that difference between this and the 50,000 kilometers we believe should take it over the next curve. And then obviously we have that at a higher rate of kilometers being paid for the main market. Otherwise, if you see it the other way, it's still the same 4% PTOG, but now it increases only 3%, which is unrealistic, it's open for 6 years. Divide it into there and you see then you have to add kilometers. So we feel this can work as a balancing mechanism, but then you have to be remunerated at a higher cost of the kilometer, otherwise it's not going to work for the rest of the service. Mr. Chairman, let's finish. We feel that also that our HMG bus operators need to be part of the front taxing system. We've agreed to that. A lot of people also agree that we believe the tax industry should be part of the solution going forward. There's also evidence that a recent work that we did with the GFT, my university I work at UJ, the Department of Transport, is a major expectation is in the bus operating part of the system. At the moment, they're not bothered by being excluded from these BRTs because not directly on the routes. But it helps, it is evolving the taxi industry. Also, the other thing about these three bus operators are members of Sabella, and there are about 900 small operators being members of Sabella. The three are just 20 years old. And this also involves scholar service. A lot of this involves scholar service, and we see problems around scholar service, maintenance, very old vehicles, and so on. We need to replace those buses. About long-term contracts and security, these companies don't get access to finance. The banks won't give them funding. So you need a contract to prove that you've got a contract, you will have a future cash flow to get hold of new buses. But it's also important, and we believe, that the public also industry should be transformed. But they have to look at this thing carefully. We prepared a slide like this, and this is, if you look at the current market, it's about 7,500 buses on DOT provincial contracts in the country, right? Of which Sabola has about 6,200 as members of our association. On the outside of this subsidized system, we have about 180,000 taxis, which equates to about 45,000 buses. If you divide 16 into that, you get 45,000 buses. Then we have about 5,000 community buses in the country, mainly focused on scholar services, special hires, and so on. So you are sitting outside of this system of the DOT and the provinces, the public transport operations grants. You're sitting with about the equivalent of 50,000 capacity buses wanting this one. It cannot do it from here. And as I said, we don't have a problem that the section of this is used for endowments and set-asides and so on. This is clearly, if you could, the Land Transport Act is the purpose. But how many can we really fund from this set-aside to have 50,000 passengers sitting out there? We have to grow public transport in this country. And look at ITPs. We'll never have a sustainable ITP. It's only cut this section and part of this, and then ignore the rest of this industry. It's a major challenge we're sitting with as public transport operators countrywide. How do you deal with this, and how do you deal with this while maintaining sustainability of this? And this is the area you're talking about that has major issue around sustainability. And this industry is responsible for 20% of all the passenger trips. If you look at the National Health and Travel Survey of 2013, this is a critical portion, especially over long distances you find it. Other issues that have is tax information. I would say this from the place of EDA and Santaka. I was in the recent show on Monday at ANN and Philip Tables was there at Santaka. And some tax information came up in the discussion. This is a big problem. It affects large and small bus operators. And the operators will view the soft targets. A strong message we should be sent to the tax ministry by government to stop intimidation. We have amongst our leaders here today an operator that can't operate anymore because of tax intimidation at East Bank at border post there. We also experience tax intimidation in Gauteng, Eastern Cape, Northwest, with Pitbull Cases, Air Canon, cross border routes, despite the fact they have valid operating licenses. We believe it's mainly due to this outrading situation in this industry at this point in time. The violence we see, and I think if you talk to some people, they're going to do the same thing. But the chairman, the last thing is that also around operating issues, most of the police, most of the regulatory entities and other lobbies are not functioning effectively. Despite the good intentions of the Land Transport Act to get police studies within provincial departments, they're not functioning well. They have very long delays, experienced operators, at most of the trees to find out applications for operating license. We know that taxis have the same problem. Even over-the-counter applications are taking weeks, in some instances months, to be finalized before permanent operating licenses are issued. The trees and OLDs are reluctant to meet the industry to address these issues, and even the DOT, just Patel, has been trying to put meetings together, and he's battling around this. It's clear that this institutional structure is not working. It's essential to the business. So what happens? You can't get this license and long weekend, operators operate. Idiot. Based on this. And an user, not only from a passenger point of view, but also from insurances or accidents. The public transport regulator needs to make operation as a matter of urgency. There's been a study, the people are there, if you see nothing from the public transport regulator. And the function of it is to oversee public transport in the country in general and activities of the provincial regulating entities to please. And we started in relation to the land transport functions. So this is also not functioning. So two critical areas are not functioning. And if you look at the DOT, when we had an on-term discussion with them a little while ago, the public transport integration committees in terms of the Land Transport Act also dysfunctional. They want to re-energize this and establish national public transport integration committee to look after public transport plans. So a lot of these structures, as still intended, are not working. They're not working effectively, so are they? And it's something we have to do from a public transport point of view. So our view is that maybe one of the solutions going forward is a task team should be established to look at issues like the funding of this industry. And this should involve provinces, local authorities and the treasury, as well as the DOT, obviously. Rationalization options, as I mentioned, we believe we can cut kilometers out of our system without affecting mobility to a very large degree. But we need to involved with the provinces, local authorities, physically, and maybe DOT. We need to get empowerment of SME operators, and this is a huge problem because we're not moving forward in terms of policy implementation, and we need to get operational issues of the industry. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Honourable members, this was a presentation by Sapoa. I don't know. I think we have joined by some minutes.
of which I didn't introduce earlier on. Let the members who have joined just join us to introduce the church so that we continue from the team. Do you have a remark? Let's introduce the church.
Thank you, Jay. My name is Manny Fred, a member of KT.
You are more than welcome there, Manny. Before I open, I wanted to get something from you. As members, what is our approach? Are we going to take other presentations as well, or we start to interact with what? Because I'm scared. Because we might have similar questions with the decision. Let me have one or two members who comment about this. Yes. Baba?
Chair, I will give you a question on the basis of some of the assumptions. So I think that's rather
Okay. No, let's do this. Let's take it for the foolishness. Members, I request you to guide me as a chair for my procedure. Process must be take place now. Must be started because once you open for one member to start to interact, other members will have also some questions. Okay, let me hear Ramasaka.
Chair, I suggest that we make some notes. And that's said because the issue here that's going to be common. It's going to be this issue called public transport, the subsidy, and no subsidy, and the commuter, and the road. So I think at some point we would have to have an integrated discussion. So I would suggest maybe that our honorable members, I know I have some questions also, but maybe we should hold them until we get other presentations.
Okay. No, colleagues. Honourable member Omsi, to the chairperson, please. If you wanted to raise something, to the chairperson. Take your mic, please.
Chair, I was quite clear in mentioning that I've got a specific question pertaining to this presentation on which of our premises were based. So I was hoping to get a question closer to after this presentation rather than to have to page back to this presentation. So if you would allow me to ask one question, obviously with subdivisions, I would really appreciate it.
Honourable members, you know, this is not so, they must not meet, let us not meet this work very difficult for us. Let us make it easy because, as the honourable member Ramasaka indicated earlier on, that some of his questions might rotate. But before that, I wanted to give this opportunity to be joined by one member as well. Let him introduce himself. So I want to apologize because he started the meeting before you can introduce yourself.
Thanks, Chair of the day. My name is Honorable Naoki, the member of the committee.
Honorable Naoki, you are more than welcome. Members, let's do this now. I'll use the course of the chair. But let's give opportunity to the next presentation. I'll request that you have to note your questions. Because they will have, definitely sure they will have the opportunity to ask questions. Let's go to number two. To our members of Santiago here. No, they're not here. Okay. Let's proceed to give an opportunity to National Teaching Alliance. If they are here. They are here. 20 minutes, please. Chairperson Mkeluzina. Before the presentation by the National Church Alliance, sorry. Honourable members, please, this corner, I'll request for order, please. Other people. Right, before the presentation, I would like to give this opportunity, we'll talk by one member. One member. Who is the chairperson of this committee? A chairperson, may this indicate your presence, please. Honourable Member Magadi. Okay, thank you very much. NTA, also it's NTAS. May you please take the platform. Presence, please.
Thank you. I am Mohammed Francis Mashuta, President of the National Church Alliance. May I briefly express a word of gratitude for the invitation extended to us to make a presentation here this morning. May I also add that we have received this invitation, and it is the first invitation we have received from the portfolio committee ever, and we would wish to express our gratitude that this time around the portfolio committee that is in place recognizes the principles of justice, fairness and equity, which principles have been strangers at the gate of the portfolio committee since the inception of the new democracy. And without much ado, let me afford the privilege to my General Secretary to make a presentation as a president. I thank you.
Thank you very much once again. Good morning, the chairperson of the portfolio committee, committee members, colleagues from the industry, and importantly, our customers. I'll go straight into the presentation. As we decided to let the integrated public transport networks, the National Taxi Alliance supports the principle of integrated public transport networks. However, the reality of the present situation must be accepted. And we need to also accept the fact that the taxi industry will be with us many more years to come, given the demographics of our society, regional areas, and so on. And in our introduction, the changes to the present situation can greatly improve conditions for both operators and commuters and prepare the way for taxi participation in IPTN. Our presentation will concentrate on the reality of the present situation, the regulatory system, National Public Transport Regulator, and modern intervention. The taxi industry in its present form, as I said, will be with us for a very long time to come. And as the special resources created by the Abadet some very odd years ago still exist. As you know, the taxi industry is mainly utilized by low-income earners who have to travel a long distances from counties to places of work. And the taxi industry, for many decades, provided the transport for these commuters. And I need to add, the taxi industry remains the biggest people mover in the country, and that is undisputed. Our reality is that implementation of ICT has been very slow. In fact, we must
added to that, even where that snail sex is taking place, we are not even involved as a sex industry. Why remain the biggest people mover in the country? And questions are now being asked about the viability of Netflix based on part of the transit systems. We are of the view that a lot more studies need to be done about the viability and sustainability of BRTs in South Africa, given our low density residential areas and so forth. While the implications are being assessed, the taxi will continue to provide the value of public transport in our city, and about X still without a subsidy. To this honorable committee, we would want to impress very strongly that we feel the continued exclusion of the taxi industry in the public passenger in the first city is unjust, unfair, and does not belong in a democratic South Africa, because we cannot find any plausible reason why the taxi industry continue to be excluded in that regard. There is also a reality say that violence in the taxi industry is increasing, and it must stop in the interest of operators, commuters, government, and the community as a whole. Chairperson, just last night after enjoying my dinner, I got a call that a taxi operator was assassinated in front of his children, his wife, in Blackstock. Just last night. And the assault is happening all over the country. And we believe the taxi violence has become endemic, and something must be done about it. The problem has become so wide that it justifies the establishment of the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into taxi violence. We know commissions have been put in place in the past, but if our memory serves us well, there has never been a judicial commission of inquiry. We are now calling for a judicial commission of inquiry because this taxi violence now undermines development, investment, growth in the taxi industry. And we believe that the taxi violence issues lie in the regulation system. The NLTA gives so much powers to the regulators, and we have seen a lot of abuse in that system. Maybe I should keep that for later. The administrative, the provincial regulatory entity PRIS. We were of the view that the PRIS, while they were releasing the old operating license board and so on, where there was a lot of corruption and so on, was going to provide answers to many of our problems. But it seems we were wrong. And we were also of the view that the municipality would not continue being a referee and player. As you know, tax operators, when they apply operating licenses and any other transaction that has to do with their operations and operating licenses, they have to get concurrence from municipalities. In the meantime, we know the municipalities are implementing BRT, metro buses, and so on. And as a result, for us to get operating licenses or new applications or any other transaction that wants to do with the operation depends on them giving us those concurrences. And in many instances, they refuse to do so, citing contradictions to their ITPs and so on. And they are also responsible for planning public transport. They are also effectively the ACH side, which would be allowed to operate and for how long. As you know, if they keep having their transport plane and decide that this is to be contracted in terms of the National Transport Act, they can withdraw operating licenses, of course, following the procedures that are in place. The uncertain lifetime of an operating license for an inhibits investment in the taxi industry. As you know, the taxi industry is not allowed to charge budget-related fares with due respect to our customers over there. We charge charity fares given the type of market we cover. Therefore, buying new taxis or replacing the age field becomes a problem, because you find that you are granted an operating license for 7 years or for 5 years, and the bank will give you a financial contract or your HP for 5 years, which then says to them, in case something happens, they would rather reduce and stick around 48 months and so on. And that makes the replacement or the buying of new taxis unaffordable. Hence, you see some of the taxis on the road are not in a good condition. The limitation comes out of the last one of the operating licenses. The National Taxi Alliance believes the taxi operating licenses should be indefinite. And we know there's been a lot of argument regarding the actual meaning of indefinite. And then there's the issue of the National Transport Transition Act recognizing the role of taxi association. But since the NFCA of 2009 came into place, the associations are no longer recognized. Let me explain this so that there is no confusion. Freedom of association, as we understand it, applies more at the political level of the representative structure, because you have your secondary tax associations and your primary tax associations. At the primary tax association, we need those associations so that we can organize properly our operations. We need to have an office, we need to have a central control, so that if someone gives a bank in a taxi, they would know where to find it. Someone is illustrated in a taxi, they would know where to go about it. But we are not advocating for a situation whereby there can only be one national taxi body. That would be unconstitutional, because the people do have freedom of association politically, but that is not at the original level, that is at the political level. This has resulted in confusion about a legal position as it remains a reason for dispute over the routes. And we need to add that some of the routes, the way they are configured, definitely they will need to be revisited, because we find that in some instances a journey from point A to point D, it ends up being A, B, C, D, unnecessarily so, where passengers will be taking on and off, on and off, and we are the first to admit that there is a need for a revisitation of that, so that makes life of our commuters easy. And then the situation is led worse by the fact that the inactions and the other systems do not talk to one another in a properly coordinated way, and that both systems are regularly offline. Maybe if I may just add on that, you find that a taxi operator based in Houghton buys a taxi in Northwest, and then has to transfer that taxi to Houghton. Because the other system and the electric system don't talk to one another, you will find a situation whereby Houghton will say, no, we are unable to transfer taxi to this station because this station already has the operating license. Whereas the reality is that change of ownership for that day has already been effected. And the issue of the owner system being offline more often than not is problematic. Our
our members on the ground are so frustrated by that system. We have made all kinds of presentations and we are not getting joy out of it. We hope out of this this honorable committee will really focus and speak to the Department of Transport, because our taxi end up being impounded and so on, why they cannot translate to the operating levels or the provincial regulatory entities. Now when the amendment bill is published for public comment, the NTA will have this proposal in respect of changes to the regulatory system and seek to make submission to this committee. We hope we will be afforded that opportunity, because that rule will at least come right at the bottom from the member that we are leaders. The National Public Transport Regulator, the previous introduced in the NLCA 2009 to overcome the maladministration and corruption present in the former operation areas for the right area. We thought this was definitely going to provide a solution, but we are seeing a worse system than it was with the operating areas board. We see officials operating with disregard for the laws that govern their operations. More often than not, there is always a big backlog of transactions as our members would have submitted requests. The National Public Transport Regulator was introduced at the same time to provide oversight on the fleet. And in the view of the NTA, the claims are, if anything, worse to respect as I say, or maladministration and corruption than the operating license points were. The NPTR has a duty to monitor and oversee the activities of the claims. And we firmly believe they are not doing their duty in that society. The residents decide on applications delayed and increased. We have made a lot of submissions. The taxi industry chairperson, Tiffany Ed, was caught off guard. We left for the job, or we didn't have the capacity to understand some of the provisions of the National Land Transport Act of 2009. Taxi operators have their operating license expiring immediately on the same day that the operating license expires. The order system automatically cancelled that operating license. It no longer exists, and made representation in that regard to have them reactivated, and many yes, operators across the country are still waiting for that to happen, and we were hoping the regulator would assist us in this regard, but we haven't had any joy in that regard. The NTA will approach the business and ask it to direct the NDR to institute an inquiry into and report all the directions of the fleet. We greatly appreciate that, because we are of the view that the fleet are not doing their job and they are worse than the operating license board. Implemented system by which the NPTR can receive and decide on operating license applications where a decision has been delayed by fleet. On the modern integration, NTA will support the principle of modern integration. We wish to see the introduction of an all-mode smart card based on the EMV system described in a regulation issued by the Department of Transport in 2011. This will enable the public transport user to make use of any form of service, taxi, bus, BRT, in due course or rail. We must add that as the NTA, we have always advocated for subsidization of a commuter, not a mode. So that when a commuter has that money in his or her, they can decide which mode of transport they want to use. But at the same time, that should be accompanied by the leveling of playing field. Because the minimum taxi industry in our country is still treated as a stepchild of the transport system. And we feel that is not. There's no reason for it. As long as the playing fields are leveled, we don't see a competition. The committee should disregard proposal by section of the taxi industry for a dedicated fare card not EMV compliant for use only on some taxis. We are really afraid, because the Minister of Transport has gone out publicly supporting that. And as you know, in our country, we've got two full-fledged tax organizations. Tax operators belong to either of the two, NTA and SANDAGO. Can you imagine now commuters, this one carrying an NTA card, this NTA card, this one carrying a SANDAGO card? How is that going to work? This type of fair card will not contribute to modern integration, because it's not a card that can use, it's not an open system card, it's a closed system card. We can only use that. I think that's what is happening now if you look at the likes of some bus companies, DRT, and Howard. We don't want to see that in the taxi industry. Because when a taxi approaches a commuter, we don't know which card works in that taxi. It is also not fair. The total taxi industry is still taking in at least in a week amount to hundreds of millions of rand. This must not be put at risk. If I may just make an example, we are said to be carrying between 14 and 60 million passengers a day as the taxi industry. Now, if the EMV or non-EMV card was to be allowed, that is not compliant with it, and we are allowed to load on the passenger, are allowed to load on that card 200 ways. Between the end of the month and the 3rd of March, at any given time, that operator that operates that card will be sitting with anything between 2 and 3 billion rands in their accounts. Can you imagine what would happen come the 10th of the 15th of that month, that company is liquidated? How you as a committee would have protected commuters, and how would you have how would you recover that much? So that's why we are advocating for the EMV, because it's more safe. We know it could be costly, etc., etc., but there are so many ways we can offset those costs, maybe for another day. The almost must have been level that definitely honor to receive all the income paid by passengers. And if we begin to receive all the money that are paid to us, we can begin to change the image of this industry. We can begin to operate new bases, etc. This in turn may possibly have standards of operation, for example, to meet the cost of scheduled maintenance in accordance with the advisory member spaces ratio. It will also enable the taxi to participate in the transport subsidy. As I already indicated, that the fact that the taxi industry has been left out of the subsidy continues to puzzle us, it's now been paying us. Even attempts that are being made by other people to try and assist, I will make an example. After the disturbances in Mariology, the taxi industry spoke to Prata, and Prata was prepared to assist the taxi industry to tender for those routes. If given, Prata was prepared to give the taxi industry about 110 or so buses, because it is one of their duties to assist public transport to grow. But we were saddened to see what followed after that announcement was made, and we are still saddened. At the same time, we have also been talking to Prata, and Prata, we now have an MOU with them. I don't know if that is still going to continue after the divider of Nagi Mundana, because what would have happened out of that, the taxi industry and the trade would feed one another. This to us is in modern integration and an extension of subsidy to the taxi industry. It is the same that mobility of the taxi be increased. NGA proposes that rather than BRT lanes, cities should implement public transport priority lanes. This would be used by all public transport vehicles, including buses, not merely BRT buses, and of course taxis. public transport pricing levels would lower the cost of operation and improve travel times for commuters. If it is your cost, it appears that a particular route justifies their city-side operation. This can be introduced with stakeholders participating as shareholders and guarantees a net loss of income as a result of changes. We think it is not fair that the biggest people mover in the country of the taxi industry is not allowed mobility. When we really carry the economy of the country. And we believe those BRT dedicated lanes are underutilized, which we believe they could be shared within the taxi industry. And all that much, thank you very much.
Thank you. Before I continue, I think we have joined by some people here whom I would love that to address the people who have just joined us.
Good morning, Chairman and Honourable Members. My name is Lucanda Matibela. I'm from the Department of Transport.
Thank you. Are you alone?
I've got people to work on here with me and so on. As an official resource to teach our people to teach our people.
Baba, who did that work? You teach your people to teach your people.
Okay, thank you. Let me use my...
Without wasting any time, what I would request, I think we, with us, we still got some. With us, maybe I request them to take a poem to give a presentation. South African Universal Organization.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. And also, I would like to thank the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee for giving us this opportunity to come and report our frustration to the Portfolio Committee to trust that we are speaking to the, directly to the government, which can take a decision. On our issues that we have. We forwarded our agenda, saying that if any issues with us, to our agenda that is number one, seeking the Department of Transport intervention in transport parastatus, and number two is PRASA. But I would like to deal mostly with this PRASA issue, which is a very issue for us now. And you will forgive us. We are speaking as we are the laymen, and as you know that every day we check our pockets whether we've got a fair price to pay the taxi and buses. Sometimes you find that you go to stage one and then before you reach stage two already, you don't arrive at that particular place. We'll keep on going a little bit. Chairman, Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and members of the Portfolio Committee, this is a very issue which we will request to be given more time to express because we represent millions of commuters in this country, which is the citizens of this country, across the board. And the public transport in this country initially was was not being treated as a type of a social responsibility of government to provide public transport. It was debated with the previous government. Public transport was for the black people in South Africa. And that's why we are using the corridor that we demarcated to the rail system that was only put for operational of goods removing from the farmers and going to the cities, the product was selling. And it was integrated to that. You will recall those who were existing during the 1950s, that we were having what we call it similar farmer last year, cold trade. And it was changed as time keeps on going. A progress of implementing the new trades. Chairperson and honorable members, the issue of parastatals, we see the Department of Transport not doing anything about it, especially on transport. We have not seen the act of the minister, the current minister, doing anything of what is happening in transport. It will believe that rather now it has been sacrificed, like Jesus when he was going to Golgotha. So in that itself, chapter 3, it is steadfast. But you will only see the minister where the Mloto bus, Parco bus carriages killing people and road buses. You'll see the minister there and say, we still have the minister of transport in this country. Party on top of the bodies of our people, which are committed. But in the current accident of poisoning rail, metro rail system, train accident, we did not see either the minister or any officer going to see commuters being injured. More than 400 commuters were injured there. Not even going to hospital to say we are sorry. And even come with a solution of bringing a certain solution of assisting them of loss of income. Even today, nobody went there. Even the new chairperson of the new so-called new board of Prasa. I'd like to dwell on this one, forgive us, you'll be patient for us for that. The new board of Prasa, we heard that it was put in place last year in October without any reason what was wrong with the old Prasa board. We didn't hear that. And we want to know the answers about that. Because the new board chairperson, Popo Mlibe, in 3 months' time, he was able to detect so-called in bracket corruption before he understood or understand the operational of rail system. He came with a red card already to come and punish certain people and try to crushing in the tender system. The way to understand the rail system might operate, it took me 5 years. How the rail system operates, it took me 5 years. While I'm using the train travel by train, that it took me 5 years to understand the rail system. How to operate, how to use the trains, where what time the train comes in, what time the train is not coming. So, chairperson, around the question of this proper management issue affecting commuters, because what you find now already, we've been asked as representatives of the commuters all these years to say, our brothers and sisters, be patient for the government, because the government is doing something through pressure to bring you change for you, because these trains that you are having metro rail is on the technology of 1956 and the signal is on the technology of 1960. And if these technologies cannot be found in the country, in the world, anyway, we have to improve.
and be patient and commit us the way with us and listen to us, obeying our request to be patient in their suffering. Every day, Jefferson and honorable members, every day you know that each and every road that is laid coming from work, each and every hour, a woman is being raped in that train. A woman is being raped in that particular station because the train can no longer go forward. It is starting no reason to be told the committee as much as a problem. They'll tell you that it's a technical problem. If it's not a technical problem, they'll say it's a human technical problem. Human technical problem. And all those things, we have seen the development that was done by Prasa under the leadership of Lucky Mutale. You look at the bus station today, how it looks like, and tell me, 6 years, how old was Cape Town station looks like? You look at the station and you tell me 6 years ago how was that station looks like and how it looks today. You look to us at the station, how it looks like today, and you look at the development that has been done there. And also some of the stations in the township, which is basically showing that, that there is a progress that is coming. Jefferson, this is a painful issue that I'm trying to bring forward. I don't have the words to describe it. But I must say that I would like to say to the honorable members of the Pastoral Committee on Transport and Jefferson, we want to give a warning to the government that we are sitting on a time bomb that is going to explode. We are no longer going to allow our people to be subjected to be telling for us, to be frustrated while they are paying and taking a shipping public transport service. Because of a certain people, individuals who want to serve their masters, we are asking the chairperson of our support for public and the minister.
Okay.
I request that probably we focus into the agenda of today. I understand the frustration here around the issue of Russia and the port. Maybe I must also be assured the chairman of the committee that the portfolio committee has tried to attend to this matter. So because there are a lot of issues that are happening at the moment, the minister is also ourselves in the portfolio committee. We are going to deal with this matter, but I don't want us to put it into the center of this meeting of today, because we want to also try to focus into the agenda of the meeting. We understand the frustration now, but please apologize for us. The issue of pressure, let's just hold it at the bias, because it's going to be dealt with, it is being dealt with at the moment. We are not bringing it into this meeting, but just deal with the challenges that are facing your challenge in relation to the question that is posed by the portfolio committee around the personal issues. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Chairperson, with the due respect to the honorable member, we have requested the portfolio committee to give us the opportunity to come and talk about this issue, to bring our frustrations. And the thing that I want to ask, we are not intimidating anybody. We said we want to discuss the letter of class as a letter of agents, which is involving also the safety of the commuter and other programs that were supposed to be implemented, which are no longer going to be implemented. As we speak now, Chairperson, the very same employees of PRAS have been divided by this, what is happening. How can we She's not in the same, not going to have a wedding. This is not a wedding. They're not preparing for a wedding. They're talking about the blood is going to be spilled. Our commission will be the victims, and our people who are the employees, and certain individuals which are sitting in their tower offices will be saved. And people talking to the media and say we are sorry for this, while our people are victims. Chapter 10, I say, this is a warning. And we are seated on a time bomb. We must take it very seriously. Because when it explodes, this country is going to be turned like 1976.
Okay, hold it. Hold it up. You see, the colleagues are wanting to appeal and request something. I agreed. That's why I kept quiet. I wanted the members to assist. I know, you know, it's tougher than our son. But I wanted to sensitize all of you. Baba from MTA, you know, time and again you were saying you had never been consulted, never been whatever. What you are doing here is part of consultation. Don't miss this opportunity. Because it comes once, I don't know after how many years. That's why I will be concerned if one of the taxi associations was not here. Taxi police. You are right, Baba. We can see what you're saying. But I will request that we catch as well some of your contribution in terms of this thing which you are trying to do. Because as you were crying, you know, without leaving the White House, already, most from the former, both Sabowa and also the NGA, they were raising issue in terms of consultation and communication, and I think this is part of the move by the portfolio committee to bring everybody on the pot so that we can make some proposals. What I'm trying to say, we are with knowledge what you have raised, we take it very seriously. But within your 20 minutes of life that you ate some of the things which we feel that you, because I know the way that let me start by saying this. All of you which have been invited to this forum, you are, it's a sign that you have been recognized. So we give you a platform, use it in a proper way. So that when we go out, we mustn't cry because there are tears that we will not have an opportunity. We didn't give them this and this and this. This is part of consultation. In short, we call it a public hearing. We are giving you an opportunity before we propose whatever might be an opportunity to come. What you said, David, yeah, we thankfully we agree with you, but in this act on what you have presented with us, because we have documents which you have presented, may you please touch as well on your own presentation what you want us to put in our package. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Let me cool myself down, because when we talk about these things, we've got history, and the rivers that we have crossed was so painful, and when it's been tempered with, it touches those walls. Chairperson, I would like to come on the best of our constituents around the question of racism, especially in Metro, that the request is that would appreciate that the Procurement Committee to assist us and intervene, coming the intervention of trying to solve the problem that is existing. Commuters are not being given a first priority to reach their destination. They wake up when you start at work at 8 o'clock in the morning,
But we find that a commuter leave at 3 a.m. to get a train that will make him or her to in time at Estrogate birthday. And also, it has also cost the commuters that some of them, they even, their family ties has broken down because the man will say the woman, she's coming from somewhere, why she's coming at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. Chairperson, we also look at the question of the safety and security of commuters, as I've indicated earlier, that there is no safety, no security whatsoever in the stations and in our trains. That's why you see that there are many studies now, especially coronary line, going to Joburg, there are so-called those gangsters, young gang, something like that. And there are also trouble now in the coaches and the trains that are happening because we do security that protect the commuters for their safety journey. You will smoke dark even if you don't, even if you not, you are not smoking. Once you get into that train, you will be forced to smoke dark. I don't want to talk too much about the female people, women, which are being raped. As I'm talking to you, Chairperson, there is a lady in the van, orange van, which is now HIV positive. She was raped in the train. So we need to be assisted to speak to the relevant department to consider these things and to implement the security system. We've tried a struggle that how to protect our commuters to go from township to the train. You see there are some sweat, I don't know whether you'll be able to see them. In 2008 until 2010, where we deployed voluntarily our members to become safety patrols from the boundary of the township to the corridor of the train station. We are also requesting the personal committee to help us. That we were now, our hearts were now up there to see at long last we are going to have change in November, the new change. This Saturday will be the end of it. We didn't know that we were training. And we don't see anymore that those things are still going to come in November. We don't believe that. The reason why I said that, you've seen that January 2015, we were here in Cape Town. To see the locomotives that was tested and we were with the minister and there was no complaint. Nobody rise up and say this locomotive is high or is closer or inland. No. But now, when we are about to be preparing ourselves to say when are the trains coming in, except November. And we find that there are people making noise about locomotives. If the locomotive is so big, I think it's bigger more than Goliath, I think. We cannot even improve the infrastructure. It's not possible, maybe. It's simply a matter of the locomotive. How many people have died? Because we did come with the minister. There was no accident up to the bridges it went through. There was no problem. And nobody commented that it's not safe. To me, to us, is that we see that it's not a political agenda because public transport, people are using it, majority of this kind of black people, our people, who happen to be far away from the workplace. As the apartheid regime planned it, that the black man must be far away from white place. So we are very much disturbed. Chairperson, I will just only go to the bus city also as well, but I will come back to the issue of bus as well. The bus subsidy issue, we don't believe that the buses are getting subsidy. Every year, PARCO is complaining that they're not getting subsidy. And when we discussed with the minister on the 29th of May this year, she said to us, the money she has given to the provincial government. And the provincial government saying, no,
the money, especially accepting a certain road to which Mloto import from Pumalanga, the money is with the Nishna. So we don't know who is fooling who here. And our people are using their liquid money not to be away from. They'll testify here themselves. We believe that Congress is not subsidized a transport operator who is using unroadworthy vehicles. That's why we are calling, we've been calling since 1996 to say we want to have one payment system that will integrate all three modes of public transport in this country. And the government must subsidize the user, not the operator. It will be a commuter that is going to choose which type of mode of transport the commuter wants to use. We have been singing that song and pleading with government, giving input on those issues. We even find the party that can also address this thing. We speak the language of the person, which is loadable, which can be accessible to every citizen of this country. We still stand on those terms. And also to come to the issue of the taxi fleet assisting, which we were involved with the taxi operators, Santaco, MTA, and SACO, and France as well. We even reached agreement in 2010, we signed the MOU of the taxi fleet assisting, under the management of the CEO that has been fired, that has been fired. We can go back to that end, but I'm trying to do, as you said, me, Chairperson, to follow the streamline of the river. So in that itself, the taxi fleet assisting, it will help our people as they come more than 1 kilometer from the township to the rail system. It will help them. It was agreed that taxi operators in those particular areas, they will take commuters and take them to the station during two peak hours, in the morning and in the afternoon. We were about to enroll it now, concerning this piece of Manilodi, as he can happen, but we did reach an agreement that we are about to enroll it. And that one was going to be enrolled by the group team of Latin Ghana. Now, as it's been no longer there, we don't believe that it's going to continue. But I will also testify more about that, why I say that. We want to see the continuation of milestone achieved programs with Russia, which is on the material agenda. Because we spent in 2006 transport in our survey from Eastern University. We said, as a nation, what is our backbone for transport? We said we want to see the rail system become our backbone for transport in this country. With that, we believe that government must spend more money to build infrastructure of that system. Instead of seeing that, we see the new development of another type of a rail system, which was called before Shiloa Express, and it was changed that it is personally to a person, was called the Howl Plane. This Howl Plane is not made for our people, but it is made for certain individuals or people with who are driving young cars, Mercedes, who can afford. And even when you go to Melbourne, you find it, he has closed its back to the RP people and shows that this is not your class, you are not supposed to be here. This is Africa. South Africa is part of Africa, it's not Europe. We will not allow to have a two-parallel commuter rail system while our people have sacrificed with their lives to be conducted to those type of rail system, metro rail. And the government subsidizing people who can afford to go anywhere they go at any time, which a commuter is not, is subjected
to be a beggar of reaching his place of work or home. We want that this thing must not repeat, as we have heard that Lord, your character boxes were great character. We've been asking why this today. I think that the Department of Transport is here. They are going to tell us what is the problem. But when we hear it from the grapevine, because people are talking outside, is that Moloto Rail Corridor, someone wants it to be privatized, to be given to the private companies. We believe that our people cannot afford it. It will be the waste of taxpayers' money. And also, will not allow Caltrain to be extended to Soweto and Limoti. Will not allow, because it will also make our people to be more poor, and they cannot afford it to use it. Chairperson, we believe that there is no visibility of problem of integration in public transport. We don't see any problem. Let me put it that the current minister, we don't have his have vision. What is that she's doing to make sure that we realize the dream of integration model of public transport here? We don't see that. We wonder whether the minister was told that it must become a minister of supervising the provinces, what they must do, and that office must not do nothing, must become inspector of the provinces. You remember that, go back and remember the time of the Honorable Minister Gerhard. In this BRT, our operator, our friends who are in assisting us with providing our so-called public transport, no matter if it's informal public transport industry, because they're not subsidized. The BRT that we are seeing today was implemented by Minister Jeff Hunter, while he was the Minister of Transport, to say this bus, BRT, will be for the taxi industry for the role that it played also during the time of the struggle. But they will have to grow to the level that they also operate as the buses, not to stick to the taxis only. It's going to be given to the metros and to train the taxi industry how to operate these buses and take over. That's why even today, those buses, 30s, could not have seated the transport government. It was given a 3-year period, building the infrastructure as well. And also you recall that the Minister Jeff Hardin, he was having a lot of problems to show us that we have to build our public transport to be realized in this country. But the current minister, Miller was what he in the minister in the entire Rikamanjo or a check connector, I can call it so. He's a check connector. The only thing that I see now that we've got the Minister of Transport is when she dissolved the board of Prussia and bring a new board. The very same man who was a chairperson of Petrol SA, look at Petrol SA to know what is happening there. He was there. And now he's been brought to Prussia. And what is happening within 6 months' time, what is happening in Prussia with this corruption? All I can say from the chairperson is that the latest period, the chairperson, the word is Umuabo Prussia Uzobani, you know what I say is not happening. And we demand, we request that Lakmo Dana must be returned, reinstated to her previous position in order that to see we realize our dreams
for that in itself. Yes. Honourable members, through the presentation, what I have suggested, because I'm informed that she is really upside, but I can't see us being agenda. What I would propose, let us have maybe those who can have an opportunity to catch something and come back. We're making an we take our key lines with our meeting so that we are able to put justice with our interactions and let us maybe
grab something and come back. You can grab something and be fulfilled. 5 minutes. Grab something and come back. Grab something for 5 minutes only.
Yes.
Okay, when you come back, when you come back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, can start now. Are we ready? Honourable members, this was a presentation which we have received. Unfortunately, it's only one which is not here, but we have a appeal before we start. You see, my little experience when we visited outside some of the countries, I remember sometimes when we visited Cuba,
You know, in terms of the structure which we're talking about in some of these proposals which are doing, there remains something very, very serious. To an extent, if we're talking about this structure of the community, they then look at transportation only. They involve a lot of things. I'll put an example. When I look here to Savoa, to us it's very sensitive. We're looking at the issue of the gender in terms of the constitution of South Africa. A lot of things. And also when you look, when you talk to colleagues, you know, you look also, she started to all the presentations. I never heard even a single one talking in terms of education. What do you do? What do you think? How do we take our people? So that, because the key fundamental, how to sustain your process and your proposal which you are doing, not in the same body who touched that one. I'm just starting an example. Because, for example, you were talking about economy here. The economy is going up, like this. Which was supposed to make sure that the economy is sustained if we don't take our kids on board. I'm just starting an example. But nevertheless, I don't want to knock for our colleagues to open to start to ask questions. Because this is myself, but then we can go and on and on and on. It's supposed to be the time is against us. So, honorable members, since then there were these two presentations, our last that it will give an opportunity. We're joined by one member from the department, Mama May, to introduce herself, please. At the back. Yeah, so just introduce. Welcome, Baba Umcho. But next time, Baba Sufila later than us. Baba Sufila later than us. Not any, because today you will feel again. Thank you. So, honorable members, I'd like to give you this opportunity, all of you. And I think the way we're supposed to do it is like we must be specific to indicate that maybe we can go up, here's a question with MTA, here's a question with the here's the question for clarity seeking and whatever. But also, we must remind about time frame. I would request that we must go on and on and on and on. Try to limit ourselves so that we can give others an opportunity to ask questions. Members, over to you. Give me hands, those who wanted to ask questions, please. Okay, let me do this. Honorable member Musinga, you wanted to raise a question earlier on and it didn't suffice to you. But I thought that let us give opportunities to other presentations as well. Then at the end, give people the opportunity to talk. But this time, I'd like to give you first an opportunity as you indicated earlier on. Others, let me see who else wanted to talk. Followed by one member of second, or fellow fighter. In that way. Oh, chapter 7, yes, in that way. Number one, singer.
Thank you, Jay. My first question relates to the table which you presented just this session. What is your first slide? Next one, I think. It was shared at the beginning, which reflected the difference in 6.54 versus 2.99. I think it was your first slide, so you can move up a bit and around a bit. That one, yes. Now, in both those tables, you selected a section of 7 years. What I notice is that there's a fairly big difference, especially in the first year of which you selected the 9-5, and then you presented a lot of what you said after that on the difference between the two. Now surely with a 30% or with a big difference in the actual grant allocation reduced in the first of the selected 7 years, that affects the average huge. Why did you then select that particular number of years? Were there more reasons for that, especially for including that 2009-10 year? Because that affects the average with about 30%. Then I also acknowledge the fact that the grant was reduced with an 18% cutback in this year, this current year. And did you then also look at cutbacks being one of the reasons why less money than what should have been allocated to DRT has in fact been allocated? To what extent were budget cutbacks responsible for that, whereas actual sufficient budgeting was originally intended and could have been sufficient? I'm also interested in a remark that you made when you spoke about and in a way comparing DRT systems in different cities. You asked the question, should we roll out as we do? And I would like you to expand on that because it's an interesting question. And then I would also like your response, as well as the taxi associations and anybody else that presented remark on the idea that was dropped in this committee on passenger subsidized ticketing systems. Thank you.
Thank you, number two.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I got just a few questions. So I've got, you know, once you take a break, sometimes you go flat when you're in it. Okay, my question is that I wanted to just to understand it. Yourselves, what do you see yourselves as you are operating the transport industry? What is your main concern in terms of whether is your objective transporting people or making more profit? And I took into consideration the aspect that you raised around the violence that has been caused by the trade industry. And I was so surprised that the trade industry didn't even, you know, take a mark in what you have raised. Because it's a real serious concern. It's a real serious concern. Recently, we had, you know, drivers being, you know, dealt with, buses being banned by taxi owners of this government, you know, and which is a challenge. But as with my other biggest concern in relation to, you know, that pie chart that you also show. I had a concern that in terms of the DOT contract, you said DOT contract is like giving you around about 35% of the share in terms of allowing you to operate. And when you look at the other 50% share, you know, you find the SMEs and the taxes there around there. And you know, you raise that, you know, the current number share is about 25,000 buses that are operating in yours. It's around about 6,000.
6,500.
Yeah. So my question is that you never raised any aspect of saying no, we want to share half of the pie with the other SMEs, with the intention of developing.
because the integration of these enough should be to share. My view that you should be able to share and allow everybody to have, you know, equitable offerings. I understand that once in your other issue was in relation to, you know, the reduction of the funding from government. What do you think is the proper solution or the sustainable way of ensuring that if there are, you know, you can be able to operate moving forward? And I'm taking notice that you said the issue of the operational licenses, the office of the operational licenses, you know, they're not giving up enough every time. You don't get no access to it. I think there's a preferred committee to be able to look at it. But the Department of Transport must be able to assess what can they be able to come up with a solution in relation to this, that you know, making sure that the office is accessible at all times. You don't find these challenges that they also raise, because I think it's very much important that you must be able also to sort out your all challenges that you are facing. I think that's you know, it's easy to be able to sort out that issue, so that as well you can be able to get your operation licenses at all times. The issue of the integrated transport system, I think it's an important aspect. Mostly, what provoke my view, what provoke taxis to want to better, because the drivers were, you know, the understanding of this business. People want to operate on this line, and the others want to operate on that line. But one thing that people forget that there are too many commuters. A test one school leaves, left other people behind. When a bus comes, it takes other people and leaves other people behind. But you find people fighting for those people unnecessary. I can't understand why should people fight, why there's, you know, all of us agree that there are too many commuters that need to be transported, and all of us can work together. We can be able to work and find a solution in putting a better transportation for our people. That's a very key issue, which I think once we find an understanding around that, we can't be able to fight for. You know, the cake is too big, but the only problem is that you want to eat alone, and you forget that, you know, it's going to make it tomorrow morning. So let's share the cake so that everybody can be able to provide this extra transport to the people. So the issue in relation to your views, MTA, I wanted just to understand when you said you must establish a judicial commission of inquiry around the issue of the taxi violence. How is it going to help us? If you really understand that the issue of the taxi violence within the taxi industry is in yourself, I mean, you can be able to sort out. I know very well that at a particular point in time, in case then, the operation was very difficult. Very difficult. Up until whereby, I think it was beta or went and tried to cut down all these things, and things came in order. Because I'm just thinking that the challenges that we have, we can be able to sort it out ourselves, but we always want to cost more money for government. Because I can tell you, once you form this inquiry, tomorrow, there will be other people who say, but there is a lot of money wasted there. Millions of friends are wasted in the inquiry. But we can be able to find solutions within ourselves. If ever all of us were patriotic to South Africa, we can be able to solve our problems without wanting to waste more money. I'm just putting that into, you know, thinking out loud. If you can be able to enlighten me, when you said the cause of the violence lies in the regulatory scheme, which is the NMPA, I need to get to understand what do you mean exactly when you say that, because I was trying to get to, you know, the understanding, but I couldn't figure out what exactly, you know, what you mean by that. Probably the answer that you mentioned, one thing that I've experienced, once you give a longer license to an operator, the operator tends to abuse that operation license. But once you give a shorter period of time of operation license, you also give one division on tools. Let me give you an example. You give an operation license to a particular entity to operate, but once its lifetime is ended, people don't check it out and go buy a new one. They still continue to use those entities that are not even roadworthy. For example, you know, the section commuter same project to the petrol industry, the park of buses, when you go to the routes to Malang, those buses are terrible. You know, when my village is doing it on our side, people are saying, you know, those buses were terrible because, you know, when it's winter, you could feel the wind coming out. And when it's raining, other people are trying to sit on the road, on those seats. And have you thought about the commuters? That's my question. Because it seems like when you operate, think about your own profit. But is there also maintenance of your buses? You don't even think about it. I know you raised the element that, you know, the subsidy is low and all that, but I'm just thinking, what does, you know, come to this table? Because when you say you're increasing the fees, these computers don't, they don't just say, no, we're going to pay. They continue riding your transport and pay. So, the limitation of the operating licenses, I think that the Portfolio Committee will still continue to support that much. And limited time period, so that you can be able to also assess your own transport system, whether it's still on order, still on line, it can be able to also assess the people according. Because once you don't give proper services, I think it's going to be a challenge. The other thing that you also raised is the issue of the natives, the alignment of the natives and the ONA there. We're just hoping that as we busy engaging with the Department of Transport and the RTC, that the transport, the RTC is going to be able to assist in an effective operation. So we're just hoping that within short limit of time, that also we can then, that they must be able to fix up their systems, they're going to be able to assist. I'm going to give you, you know, some of the other bits that then will come into consideration, because those companies were just raised previously now, and they've been raised previously. So we try to follow up in all those other issues to make sure that the regulation processes becomes also clear. Yeah. All right. Now, in the interest of time, let me just hold the chair. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll give you an opportunity if there is still time just to have some of the questions. Next time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and then we also thank those presented. You know, Chair, let me just say that perhaps I have a number of questions, but maybe they're not going to go to the heart of my question. So let me just make a simple point and hear both the public transport providers what the take is. The debates that we're having today, they're over 20 years. Shabowa, as long as I've known you, and I have been hearing the communication some time ago, Shabowa, was this association of pastors. It's always been a discussion about subsidy
and the issue about whether the subsidy is efficient and the running cost and looking for more money, simply put. And after they have decided, look at the 15% as what you say is 15% is profit or something like that, and 57% is cost. And the 15 years, 10 years, I'm sitting and I'm asking myself a question. I mean, you enter into a 10-year or 20-year investment arrangement, and in it you have obligations in terms of the service conditions that goes with it. As you don't carry all the costs. Some of the costs are built in terms of the arrangement. Now, when would you clear all these costs? What else is not declared in terms of entering income? Because the business is not only that receive a subsidy. There are a number of other businesses that you undertake which does not necessarily need that, because you've got equipment, you've got buses that do those kind of work. So for me, thinking across the Jubilant, both MTA, Santaco, Sabor, the big issue for me is an integrated public transport system, and that public transport system has a one ticket, integrated ticket system. Was it discussed in 1996? We haven't passed that discussion in your presentation. We've touched on some of the discussion about the dedicated bank card problem of it. So the bigger issue that we're skating around is that issue of the integrated public transport system. Less negative competitions that you have. Because the intimidation that you're speaking about, this general service of Chicago, is embedded with the kind of system that you continue to protect and not want to break. So the bigger issue here is sitting and looking to your eye is, why don't you get out of the box? Get out of the box and think around an integrated public transport system or this pie that is going to be divided. There's a slide where you talked about the 38 meetings with the various stakeholders. And up to now, we don't have a solution to some of those problems. Because they're money-based. So not this big issue that we need to tackle in South Africa. It is an efficient public transport system which is safe, which is reliable, which is there when people need it, which is regulated in terms of times and so on. And Santaco, also in Santaco MTA, getting out of this terrible battles and think big in terms of the integrators. I was tempted to ask, do you meet as a transport provider and think big? And say, how can we come up with a working model that each one of us going to divide the pie in terms of the subsidy? Because the problem of subsidy in terms of the taxis, to say the 180,000 individual taxi owners, operators. What is the discussion going to begin to say, we're going to now begin to say, how are we integrating the small operators into a big, medium into a big, in the feeder system? Because the life can't remain only on the feeder system. That is small, they must go. I don't hear the debate. That says, our plan in terms of addressing this, while I accept with respect that taxes will always be there, they will always go to the feeder system. But the model that we have in terms of the resources that we have is unsustainable. Because government is not going to be able to subsidize 180,000 individuals, but cooperatives, bus cooperatives, and I was listening to this class discussion about 100 buses, which I was thinking was going in the right direction. because you need to get out of the swamp and get it deep. So that's for me a big issue. And all the presentation I spoke, with respect to the professor, they're all inward looking. They're looking at an institution, the interest of members, Saboa, Golden Arrow, Patco, this Tassar, and everybody else that are joining this association for the indirect delay so that they will provide for this advance, stuff like that. But the reality is that if you look in terms of the public transport and subsidy of transport, it's a problem that's huge and unsustainable. The debate that you're having, unless you get to hear the debate around the integration, you're going to have this problem that you have. So, and I was asking myself, the 57% cost and the 15% subsidy, obviously there's a problem with that. But is that only the livelihood? Is it only the income that we're talking about? This is about imports. All the things that are, that as we take for is dollar and rent is of course value. It's a problem. But is it not about time that part of the bigger debate can remedy that issue? I mean, you're paying labor in America or paying labor in Germany. So of course part of the discussion. That some of the diversification of our own discussion, you leading the discussion around you because you understand the sector, that is localized. In my sense, let me end this by saying, the commuter are saying that, and then I heard them talking about subsidy as well, that the passport is complaining that the subsidy is not sufficient, and the transport is saying the other people must come on board. There's an MOU that was signed in 2010 that talked about the feeder system. That MOU is now got has been dashed somewhere and nobody's implementing it. Which is a good start. Isn't it a good start if you're going back to that particular MOU to begin to revive it and then have a war? I'm sure it can be a guarantor for some of let me call it differently, not individual, but creative cooperatives that are steps as an anthropology. Creative cooperatives, transport cooperatives, that begins to grow from small to medium. To test them is the data of only one. We have a long history of respectable for this. But are you ready for that discussion? NDA, are you ready for that discussion? And what are you doing about it? Because then let me end up by this intimidation and a commission of inquiry. You know, the hitman that hits in the taxi industry doesn't come from is part of the taxi problem. I wonder whether if we were to say there's a commission of inquiry. Another commission of inquiry is not going to give you a solution. It's going to collect gifts. But the people who are doing the hit list is in the industry. When is the industry going to be ready to say we need to clean ourselves from this? And now these hitmen that are happening that are going to people at night must be exposed. Because the exchange of cash is with the industry itself. And all what we need is those who have a different views about how to take the industry forward. Happens in Western Cape, number of leaders has been shot and killed in the morning on the way to church, precisely for that reason. Now, commission of inquiry is not going to solve that, but committed taxi operators who was to clean themselves are going to say, these are the people who are going to take the industry. When we talk to them, they say, we know who are these people, they're too scared to speak. They can't even go to the police station. So I don't know, NTA, that commission of inquiry. But I think maybe if there was a special task force of the police that can give
which is an elite that can collect all this information for purpose of arresting, but not to have a commission that's going to say yes. Currently you already have a skilled force. It would say, let the National Commission put a special team. We're ready, as NTA, to go there and say whoever we suspect that they are doing, the police must follow them. What is the rule to arrest? Sir, thank you very much. I want to leave you there. But
okay. For the fight,
sir. I have question to be to support about those presented in my message. But I only two questions. I just want to know whether you covered also the state owned companies, our companies of BRT, are they members in our society, auto parents, or in the open where they create now, they say state owned.
My voice, sir, could this your voice?
In Popo, we have great North companies. I just want to know, are they covered under our association? And lastly, it's about the relationship with SACO. We have bilateral meetings or formal meetings with SACO on behalf of the community. We'd like to hear that in the future. Then I will go straight to the NTA. Yeah, the issue of the violence, the current is the honorable members that is about you guys. So I wanted to know about the BRT system. Is it covering you as the NTA? Because I understand when that system comes to the municipality, the taxi operators, they become the beneficiary. As a NTA, are you benefiting, how many percent are you benefiting to this BRT? The issue of the operating permit, the route based permit, as you know now, we are no more doing the regular permit. It's like you want us to go back to the regular permit because like this last year permit is like you think it's not working. So I think the idea of the government was to just to wipe out the monopoly of people who have the different payroll of permits. And also to eradicate the paper bag permit. Those people who apply many permits, they just be occupied the land while they are just on the paper bag is waiting to be sold for the hire. So the other issue is about the issue of your engagement in the rural areas. Because I saw in the Eastern Cape there are parties who have in the city, right? And it's not covered in the legislation, that mode of transport parties. What are you doing to assist the government maybe to eradicate such kind of transport? Because what does happen on those parties? All the people, most of them, they perish. And in the last case, and the previous and the present budget, I saw there is a state of grant of government money going to Chicago. I wanted to know how much grant do you get from the government? Because it's like you are legitimate tax association also. Do you get any grants from government like Chicago or not? So the mode of subsidy you're proposing, I support it because it's a proper, because to the individual controller choose which mode of transport they use. And you said in your presentation that the taxi fee is not less. So can you clear us why you say so? And also explain for us the application of the EPC agenda and the definition there. And this on-mode smart card you are compatible with, do you ever make some research and study to any country which is working fruitful? If so, you can also be asked. The other thing is about the driver's training. What is your strategy in terms of the driver's training? Because most of the cases, when there is an accident, you can't drive if they are on the roadside in the drivers. So that starting on driver driving or reckless driving. And the taxi drivers now, they are well known on pricing, not considering other users. In all terms, they are saying,
So what are you doing in terms of the driver's training? And again, your relationship with SACO, how is your meetings and bilateral communication with the SACO, the Computers Association? The NTA's view about the cricket is not here in the presentation. What I'm comfortable with the capitalization program, or I find, or is not trying to explain to us. And there's a so-called provincial tax cutters in the whole country. So what is your participation there? At the provincial tax cutters. Are you part of the provincial tax companies? Are you part of the provincial tax cutters as the NTA? And in your presentation, I don't know what you understand about the National NDP, Development Program Council. Are you, what are you saying about it, as a program of the government? And the other thing is your relationship with SACO. Because according to my understanding, these two bodies, they can be joined and be one and work together and have a cooperative bank. You should have not having a problem of going to bank loans and everything, because business of rent have been made in the tech industry. And the last, I want to go to SACO, the president, Mr. Sawen, about the issue of the pressure and so forth. It's also a concern to also to ask the member of the committee what is happening, because at the end, the public and the commuters will suffer out of that. You said there is a time bomb, so I don't know what is a time bomb. Can you explain to us this bomb? So that is the committee must say, we told you that there was a bomb. Clear us that. The issue of security in the church is a concern. We try to ask the leaders from the presidency about the security. So but I think you are members of the Computers Committee, the make some people who can assist the law enforcement agencies of those things and those the robbery issues happening all within the church. I'm finishing now. Santaco, not a SACO. I don't know your structure up to the local level. Are you available in the local municipality district provincial level secretary? Although, I'm not sure.
So, honorable members, please, I wanted to appeal. If you can check time, as we are asking questions, we won't have enough time for our visitors to respond. Also, I'm going to limit them to you will come, sir. Remember, I even cut from the previous members. Chairperson, no problem, sir. No, wait for. So what is this? I'm done opening that meeting. This is a member of the committee, they know the procedure in the committee. Then the chairperson.
Thank you very much, chairperson of the day. Let me, on behalf of the committee, thank everybody who has been able to take this occasion. May you get it as one of those occasions which actually go forward, we believe, to be able to assist us to deal with the challenges of integrated transport in the Republic of South Africa. I want to preamble my talk by saying the Minister of Transport in the Republic of South Africa has been given the task of making sure that there is proper transport in Sandek, meaning that by air, by rail, by route, the minister should be able to assist other Sandek countries. And here we are, everybody looking inward as to what is in it for me, not looking broadly to say, how do we make sure that there is proper transport inside? And it's a trend in other southern countries. It's only in the Republic of South Africa where there are subsidies for bus operators, for that matter, not for everybody. Probably it is a trend because they belong to government. That is what we can be able to say. This is what we see. What is at the center here is that let's have the case that it be shared amongst all of us. Look as to how best can we grow this industry. Because it's an industry that is viable, it's an industry that can be grown. When you look at the MCCC, all of us have this image. MCCC was talking to a lot of business opportunities constantly. But nobody is talking to that, particularly the taxi associations. What they talk to are issues which actually will lead them to fact. Critical is how do we have this state grow and grow to can be able to accommodate all of us. To both organizations made excluding such. In 2011-12, I can't remember very well, COP17 was here in the Republic. And we took a vow to say that we will make sure that we protect the environment. But there is nothing that presentation that has come here that has spoken to climate change, that has spoken to gas emissions, that has said how we protect our environment. American, because to us, that is one of the important things that as we are dealing with the business, we should be able to say, gas emissions, how do I make sure that I protect the environment by making sure that there is a reduction of gases as I'm doing it with my business. Maybe this is one of the questions which every time you talk to yourself, you should be able to ask, what is your role in terms of gas reductions? Because when you speak to others, even when we talk at sea, we spoke to all those, in the air, in the sea, we always ask this question. How do you participate in terms of making sure that there is reduction of gases? You've spoken to roots, you've spoken to subsidies. And I want to make a combination of both. Critical is the roots that make business viable. When you look at the reconstruction and development plan of the African National Congress, which is the ruling party, way back, as early as 1993, it is talking to safe, reliable, affordable transport, which actually will be able to cover in every area. But you only hear us talking a lot to the issues of subsidizing in the rural areas. You go to the West Coast, to the Eastern Cape, you go to Jukoko, you go to Karakadi, up in the Northern Cape. There is challenges in terms of reaching the medicine. And I don't hear us talking to say, how do we subsidize those taxes in the Northern Cape when the children did not go to school for 6 months? One of the parents on TV said, in Gauteng, the 4 lanes going one direction, 4 lanes going the other direction. Have one in one lane and bring to the Northern Cape so that we can have a charge road also, so that our car can also be saved in terms of maintenance and other maintenance things. This is one of the critical things because those women in the rural territory are still suffering. If they have to reach any other area, it be health, it be scholars, it be any other thing of their day-to-day life, they are still struggling. And that is why to me it becomes critical to say, we've got all these other areas that have been subsidized. We've got these other areas where everybody is fighting for the route because it's the best route that will be able to generate profit for everybody, even the taxis and the buses alike. But we're not talking and saying, how do we reach out to those who are disadvantaged? 21 years, they're still disadvantaged. Many years you can copy back just to disadvantage. A bus passes once in the morning, if you leave that bus, you will not be able to do groceries. The bus passes late in the afternoon. If you miss that bus, you must start looking for accommodation whenever you check out because you have to wait for the following day. I'm glad to hear from both Sagoa and NCA. Is he actually viable? Is that a route that government must follow? If not, what are the issues that we should be able to take cognizance of as we guide the Department of Transport to say, probably if you change here, probably if you deal with it in this manner, this is the liability to take a film. But I align myself with what my colleagues have indicated, that don't be inward looking. Look at how can you cooperate and competition and cooperation. There is need for competition and cooperation at the same time. I would like to call that cooperation problem between you as operators, but at the same time you are able to say we are working towards an integrated system. Lastly, I don't want to talk to subcommittees because I want to be honest with some. I did not hear anything which I said is policy related, except hearing about BRASA, which we are dealing with. Probably they will still send us a presentation that will be talking to commuter issues. One of your commuters, Moloto people, they came here and requested them that we would like to see a charter that will have been drafted, which will be able to focus on the commuters. And I think I've seen it yet, but it has not been spoken to in earnest, so that as legislators, as policy coordinators, we can be able to say these are the extra that we can be able to utilize. Remember, the grant we actually have been spoken to so eloquently this morning is a grant which actually through national treasure. You would wish that it gets expanded and expanded. But critical is the expansion of this grant, where does it end? How do we make sure that this grant can be able to cover other people and other people? I'm happy because we start to see and we have felt it when we were in Mamelodi, that when government makes an intervention, people are rejoicing. And I've said to the minister, I have said in this very committee, say, come on, because there is a challenge of subsidies and subsidies. We need to subsidize government-owned transport, which will be able to go even to the periphery. If we have my particular city, if we have Transnet going to the periphery and get subsidized, for sure it will be a better job. Because you can't have buses which are like a weather. Like we told Mamelodi that buses were like weather. If it rains, it rains. If it's cold, it's cold. If it's sunny, it's sunny. If we are on the dusty road, it is dusty. We can't have this type of thing because we are saying affordable, reliable, safe, and secure transport throughout the Republic. And therefore we expect even the taxis. But what becomes a problem with the taxis is one page being used by 20 cars. That is one of the challenges that as FEA, the other organization that is called Council Tango, we should be able to look into that. Look at REA. Where is the point with REA? Very simple thing. Eat your cake and still have it. That is it. It's as simple as that. You eat your cake and you still have it. And it can't work like that. It cannot work like that. And remember, we are affected by the challenges of the world. As people of the Republic, as we deal with issues of the economy, we must always remember that the challenges, the global challenges economically, as the land shrinks, is not shrinking for us only. The dollar is doing something, the pound is doing something, and therefore, it affects us. What do? Let's think out of the box. Make sure that we are able to have artisans that can be able to make sure that we don't import you have artisans that can be able to start looking into manufacturing, looking into proper maintenance and other related matters. So these to me are the things that when we are saying think out of the box, let's work collectively to create jobs, let's eradicate poverty, these are the tenets that we rely on which we can be able to make. Very important pieces of study. We as parliament and as legislators will soon be talking to other parliamentarians and making sure that the transport in traffic becomes not only a Zimbabwean thing or a South African thing or a Namibian thing, and we are going to be crowded if you do that. Next time when we come and talk to you, you will now be saying we are out of business because those ones are used to operating without being subsidized. Those ones are used to doing things as business without looking and thinking that if I spend 57% on internet and recurrent expenditure, I expect 57% to come back from government to be able to subsidize me. Let us think about the book. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman.
You know, honorable members, I would just hint a few because there is a disadvantage when you start at the end. But if you try to summarize some of the things which you were raised by the members, our concern. It's unfortunately Santiago is not here, and I know sometimes we have media people and like the machine interpret what I'm going to say about me, but it's after them people. Chairperson, you know, there were things which were raised by the members. I think corporate, I remember Honorable Hagen raised it. To, and also Ramaslakan, and all the members raised it, and also Babu Singh raised it, and I will craft. You see, sometimes we are very hard to ourselves. That's why I've said when I said it, it's unfortunately it's not here. Chairperson, some people there, of course, when NTA was doing the presentation, I nearly laughed when you were saying outside political what. I was very careful about that one. Let me put a practical example here in this room, in this workroom. As you are here, all these members belong to this portfolio committee, but they are from different political parties. So what is difficult? Why don't you in South Africa have, I mean, we talk about one country, one state. I'll let you repeat. One country, one state, but with many political parties. You see? Now, what is worrying me is that, you know, I don't know, you know, like the issue of tax violence. Some people, they take it right as if you are from Jupiter, not from this land. It's affecting us. Those are our parents, those are our kids. We have four parents who have been in and been crucified about this thing. Nobody loves it. Where is the problem? You see, Chairperson, Mulawuti raised an issue about how often do they interact? I don't think that they interact. Yes, sir. Honorable Madika requested to the school staff, I said, for some certain equipment. Thank you, I see that. You see, you don't interact, but you're living in the same country, and you're making for us very difficult. You can change minister after minister. When it comes to embassy, it must be given to who? And to my parents, Abba Majesty Association, you know, there's something very painful to us. Is that we are very aware that we won't stay here as members of parliament all the time. We are rotating. But you are there to stay as our parents.
when are you going to start to have that idea to come together and form one body, one umbrella body? You can have different affiliations, but one umbrella body. When are you going to start to think about it? To think about it, as you are here, there is ANC, there is DA, and there is EFF, there is, what is it called? What is it? And an NFP, NFP, that is an example why to assure you, why don't you learn from us? But we are sitting together here because we wanted an political solution. But this happened, I think, that is where it went wrong. Remember, when we're talking about one state, one country of state, there was a realignment in terms of our local government, new demarcations, in terms of our district. That's where the problem also we contribute the issue of these rules which are fighting for. Because why not singing the same song? That's where we are sometimes, I mean not sometimes we are experiencing this issue of taking pennies. Sabor, when you're doing professor, you know, and then enough when you're doing your presentation, like someone taxi, license, whatever, taxi, 18 years, you spoke about 18 years, I'm like, if you go to Indonesia, if you talk about the lifespan of the car, they've got a limit, strictly, that you can use this car for many years, but with you, your bus is how many years? Let's be honest, because to me, this is a kind of issue. Number one, you get a subsidy, decide your car, what is financially, but I shall ban every day. At the end, David, I'll give him the shoes that I call it a shoes. Because we never, I don't know, when in ourselves as this portfolio company, when are we going to put our feet down and the person suggest that if you are failing people, you watch us, what my how many years? I'll put an example of this about the taxi, yes, there were some lot of icons which we even realize that they are a mistake, but how many people came out to bring their taxi to start? Like, Umama and Honorable Sibu raised the issue of Moloto, this Umalanga community. I told you that there are none of delegation in Rabasan. It's a fact that some of your own passes. If you are busy to change Yawa in 5 rand, you can't get it anymore. Your pants go to step back in. Yes. In terms of the dust, if you are from Pretoria to Moloto, Niazwinsala. If it's raining in Niazwinsala, and why not hear about this excellence? Some of people, they thought that you were Shayama people, Shayama. No. I'm just searching a example. Umama tried to make an issue, make climate change, and the like. There are serious issues where we need you to go and participate and represent us. But how do we select you to go and represent us in Zaga? How do we select you to go and represent us in Africa? A lot of people, they only see Africans, they see a mirror where to copy, where to land, as a rainbow nation. You see, you can't go to that rainbow nation, at the back, no, I belong to this association, I don't need that one must be kicked. Rainbow nation, this one must be, oh, you can't look like that. Baba Ramatakan, you were right. When you raised about that issue, you should have raised about Isoma, white committees. I'll give an example. Why always you want among one club? Let me call one MC how thing there was a sexy violence, and then he said, no, we stop. And then we bring in our police. We stop, we close our mouths and that. I don't think that is proper, that police must be there. I've seen them and do understand about that. And as I indicated, there are lots of in terms of economics and whatnot. You are well needed in terms of the environment to need to have the right, you know, for you to the right, and the right, of which they position contribute or something, they might be. Therefore, by saying that, I can go on and on and on and on, raising some of the facts which I feel that they must be covered. But let's do this now. At least 10 minutes each to respond. Not more than that. Because it's already time. At least 10 minutes for each to respond.
Mr. Chairman, there are at least 15 persons directed at us or trying to cover some of these questions.
Then what I can request is that some of the questions, because they will be elaborate, if the organizations can, through writing, respond to some of the questions that have been asked, because they are very elaborate.
Thank you very much. The Chairperson is trying to assist us. Some of the questions maybe you might not have the opportunity, but you can in the second those responses to us, so that we can have records about it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the honorable members for the gracious opportunity to the delegation. Just as far as the state was concerned, this is the reality that in that first year there was a reduction of 6% to subsidy instead of an increase of 8.9. So there's a base that you have to work on. So it's not that, you know, this is not the correct table. The cutbacks that we had in terms of the subsidies on two areas, this fund operation grants from the National Treasury, then this year there was additional cutback all down in the spending. So two cutbacks that you had versus the actual cost of the industry. The DRTs in different cities, at the moment it's being rolled out throughout the country, if I remember back in about 14 or 15 areas of the country. DRT operations, typically they have high density routes, high volumes of people, cross flow of forward and backwards movement of people 18 hours a day. So Africa, and it's mentioned here today, have low densities. You don't have the urban densities to justify VRTs everywhere. So our best is to VRTs, and then there are also ways of designing these VRTs that are cheaper. VRT lights, for instance, as an example, and one can use that to be dedicated busways, bus lanes, and so on. intersections and so on. So that cheaper ways of taking the benefits of the VRT than what they have in this building fund. And there was a question about the membership of the association. The VRT operating companies are members of this association, Johannesburg and Cape Town, and as well. So the association has provided a presentation that presents about 970 bus companies, of which about 920 are small operators, operating fewer than 10 buses. So, and we also present municipality and non-business operations, and both his council investments and great of all members as well as of the association, but not all the press. The unified subsidy in theory is probably the best solution, but in practice it's the worst solution to go for. There are no examples in the world that have mass system user that. They are very expensive to maintain the conference on budgets, you don't know how to get it. Focus on who needs these subsidies, you can't control the scope and quantum of this. Where unified subsidy works is we have a dedicated like an old age home, you give them tickets that can use transport and but you control the budget from the outset. These people used to say 5 trips a week or 10 days. And you control the internet. There's virtually no information, new information beyond about 1996 around unified subsidies. It's always the way public transport is funded is based on IPTNs and the different modes of transport, the role that play within these IPTNs. And they have one ticket system, so integration of the ticket, the fare system, physical integration, contract integration, logical integration through these systems in one IPT. So VOA is fully behind this to get IPTs in place. We think this is the out of box thinking that we need. As trade association, we cannot force a local authority to design or develop an IPT. We can comment on it when we ask about it, but what you want to tell them, because we operate. You're on the receiving end of IPT and has been developed somewhere through consultation, but everybody already happy with IPT. So the other blocking is really around the IPTs, and we're not moving fast. This is holding up everything in the country. All the public transport transformation, everything is being held by that. There was a question about our maintenance people versus profits.
Every company that's out there should be able to make a profit. Otherwise, why would you invest in public transport? If you want to operate with an airline like SAA, it doesn't make profit. You have to bail it out to replace its assets and pay its salaries and wages. It's like a bus company. The bus company is there because the policy statements say, we want you to bring the services on these routes, based on this timetable, and this is the fee you will charge. The difference is made into the subsidy, so they are delivering services. So, obviously, it must be a profit motive. You have a profit motive, why be involved in this business at all? And if you transfer everything to the state, the problem is that the state-owned business, throughout the world, for example, through public transport, governments are getting out of it because a government-owned public transport system is inherently inefficient. And if you look at it all over the world, they've done that in the UK, New Zealand, Australia, all over the world, it's a major issue. But you go to the private sector to source the transport services based on the IPN, and people compete for that and negotiate with the operator as far as that's concerned. The taxi virus is a major concern, not only in that industry, but also intermodal. And it's also a point of law enforcement that's problematic here. You may have a court's order interdicting the fact that you should not intimidate passengers to get off these vehicles, and it's just ignored by the authorities. We have the free status situation where at the border post of the city provinces, it seems that government doesn't acknowledge the cross-border roads of the authorities' terms. They don't acknowledge it. So there's violence on the route and there's intimidation. But the cross-border transport agency is a governmental institution, but the province doesn't recognize it. Just on the spike shots, I'd like to stand up because I've quite a few questions around this.
Remember, Kenny.
The funds. Mm-hmm. 6.16 apparently. Mr. Simmons, this spike shot, we designed a spike shot. The industry is not against transformation. It's not against sharing. All we say is that if Savona has 6,200 buses on these contracts, you refer to interim contracts, business contracts, negotiated contracts. Even if you get rid of this entire industry, there's no operators on this tomorrow, you'll not be able to empower this whole section outside of this industry. You have to grow the industry. You have to grow the pie. You can cut up this pie. We just put a cut in there, but that cut, if you look at this 145,000 buses plus another 5,000, you can't empower all of that through this cut or even breaking over existing systems. It's logically, it's not there. And your IPGN should define which services are subsidized, which modes of transport, or what businesses going into the future. And we have no problem with the taxis participating in this. All the small bus operators. But we're not moving because IPGNs are not being developed at this point in time, or sufficiently developed that they can put service out to the tender. On the OLDs, the trees, we think the NPTR is not functioning properly. A lot of the staff see the trees, the function of the trees. And we have to set up the attractions through the violence around us and people concerned about the trees. We thought it was going to be a decision because it was taken back into the departments of transport at the provincial level. It's clearly not working. In terms of IPTNs, as I've mentioned, the industry is fully buying IPTNs. And every mode has a specific role. High density routes, medium density routes, low density routes, and whether it's road or rail, they all have a solution and a pro-trade solution. But it's important to look at the RTs as part of the solution, but they apply it where it's applicable. So building the RTs is fancy. So there's no need for a VRT. You could have a VRT light or guided busways or road section set aside for the improvement of transportation along a specific corridor. You don't have to build extensive infrastructure as far as systems are there. I think it calls for review of what we are doing with VRTs. It shows you the figures there. Spend $5 billion on VRTs, and then there's still network grants on top of that for many of these services. You may be looking at $6 billion for 1% of the passenger movements at this point in time. It's a huge amount of money that we're talking about. All the options, do you realistic? There's a role for mass transit through buses on corridors, but it doesn't always have to be a VRT. We have an example here in the airport towards the city. You set aside a section of it over the morning peaks, the afternoon peaks. This is the way to go. This is one of the ways to go. So that's the Lord of a VRT on that route, specifically on the N2. What is the first stop here? At the end of the day, if you have a public transport, plan, and get the operators to tender, you want operators to operate services on the network based on the plan. So the government is for a policy that says to us as operators, this is what we want you to do. And the street agents are determined. And if you look at the model contract documents on the website of GOT that's available on gross cost medical contracts and the negotiated contracts. You have a street agent 10 years, this is the requirement, 10 years, this is what people are aiming for. I know the government error, I think they have a street age of 6 years, I think I tell you about 9 years. Average street age. So and this is the way these are managed. And in that process of looking at street age, there's provision for the rebuilding and the remanufacturing of buses to original specifications. So you don't replace a bus, you manufacture the buses. Look at aeroplanes. Some of the jets that SAA is flying and Calvin and so on, some of them are not right now, but they were up to 30 years old. But you would not say that when you get into the aeroplane, okay. It's always maintained.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next presentation. Viewers from the airport.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will start with the subsidization of a passenger, not a mode. We remain convinced that that's the most fair system to give the passenger power to choose which mode of transport they want to use, which is a clear indication that we don't fear competition as long as the playing fields are there. The constitution of our current guarantees its citizens the right to life, and that right to life is protected by the state. Now, if there are taxi operators who don't see being in the taxi industry as a duty to provide public transport and to make a profit out of the business and that they to kill others, we are not political, we are not courts, we are merely a service provider. Those people in one way are criminals, they belong to jail. We can't arrest them. The state must arrest them, not us. Now, the reason why we are calling for a judicial commission of inquiry, it is because there are so many elements connected to taxi violence. First and foremost, we go to the police station and we say, we have heard that tomorrow morning, Association A is going to be encroaching on Association B, and we fear the major violence. We wake up in the next morning, nothing happened like it happened in Tenerife last week, and innocent passengers, but still, the police had the information. And we cannot go and interrogate the police. If they are going to some committee where they are not sold, they will just say anything, and it's crushed away. In departments of transport, particularly under operating license boards and things, taken from the previous registrar's offices, officials in those departments are selling goods from one association to the other, and they result in violence. We don't have any power to go and interview those people and say, why did you do that? It happened, and we believe in a judicial commission of inquiry, those which are going to come out and recommendations are going to be made which are enforceable. People go to court when two associations are fighting and order get granted in one or the other. Those are not implemented. Simply because there's a lot of money corruption taking place in some of these offices. The result of that is taxi people getting killed. Those operating licenses you give us as government have become our death certificates. So we strongly feel that the Judicial Commission of Inquiry will unearth the truth. The regulatory system, why I would say it's a program, I've just alluded to some of the issues. Routes are allocated by the registration and licensing officials in the probation department. There is a lot of irregular activity taking place in that, and yet they are empowered by the Land Transport Act to do that. We think God must lead it. As you would know, there was a registration process throughout the country, all of the provinces. You will be surprised that up to now, the aunt state associations that we finally registered, and a lot of resources were placed in that. My former MPC here, Transport, who came, that was the process that was in place, and that process was never concluded. And that is the end of the day. There is a question mark as to which association is entitled to operate on this work and not on that. Yes, I think we should be sitting down to talk, but at the end of the day, people are not the same, they don't think alike, they don't act alike. But the law should tell us what to do and how to move forward. The issue of the order to the inactive system, we would be as strong and as controversial and say, please, correct this order to the system. It's not working. It's a shame. Find something better. This one is fake. Completely. Because 3 times or 4 times in a week, it will be done, it will not be working. And we've seen the figures that respond all on that system. It's not healthy. Why is it be kept? Why is the Department of Transport not coming up with something better than that? Interconnected connection, we've already said as the National Taxi Alliance, we believe commuters should only care one heart. And out of that heart, that's the way we go to effect the facility without discrimination. And we have also said we supported the question as to what is this EMV, that is the card system that is used internationally by all the banks, and it is done through the banks, whereby there's no one who wakes up in the next morning and say, hey, there's a lot of money in the GT, let me take my memory stick, put it in my pocket, about the first plane, and that person is gone with the leaders, because there are systems, those systems are not safe. The taxi industry being rigid. No, we are not rigid. We have embraced regulation and control of the taxi industry. We have embraced formalization of the taxi industry. Why that is happening, we have been kept as the children of the transport system. We cannot sit here and pretend that we are happy that our own government continues subsidizing buses and trains. And those buses are owned by individuals, by the way. And why we are not subsidized. Taxi passengers are as South African as bus passengers. Can it be that a government led by the African Labour Congress would discriminate against some of the citizens in favor of other citizens? It can be. Then our history is between us. There is no that we think that is unfair, and something must be done about that. And the solution we provided, they're saying, put in the subsidy that into that car, and the passenger will decide where they want to go. We are ready to roll it out if it was put on the table now. Does BRT well, no. We think in a long run, the countries will get very hurt by BRT. People have gone all over the world to look at the BRT system. The BRT system that is more sustainable and working better. I don't know what it is called. I read somewhere, it's a ridership, it's 2.4 million passengers per day. And we don't have that density in the country. That operation is too expensive. It has said a lot of things. You will find it very difficult to bring that back. And while we are talking about the VRT, the taxi industry can work. Particularly, I will use the RAN in France. Since the implementation of that system, there has never been one protest much. There has never been any stoppages and blockages. And by the way, in that system, both Sandaco and the NTA are working together in that region. And there has never been, I'm not saying the system is perfect, but working together, and there is no problem. Why we are looking for indefinite operating license as opposed to 5-10 or 7-10. 5-10 or 7-10 is limiting us. It's not attractive to investment. One, we make in a business that can only be in place in 7 or 5 years. That is our cry. The grant to Santiago is the NTA receiving it. No, we are not. The Minister of Transport does not respect the constitution of this country. So far as Freedom Association is concerned, the department is discriminating the NTA as we are mandated by our people to represent them. There is a lot of questions here which are very, very important to us. Recapitalization, tax council, and so on. But having been given the opportunity to respond in writing, I can promise you we are going to respond in writing in all of them, because to us they are very important. In closing, we need to thank this committee, because this is what has been lacking all along. The previous committees were talking to certain people in the industry and not talking to others, and they were getting half truths. That is why we haven't made headway. Finally, Chairperson, let me criticize you once. You allowed the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee to talk before responding to those things, and everything she said, how can we ask her things? We take all that has been said, and we are going to use it as a guide to responding to this question and sharing the way forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'm a member of this committee, I believe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let's do justice and give support. I'm very sick with the challenge. But what is the question, Sako? You know, the last input which we gave Mabashami, Nere, you know the last input which you gave? What? Cool down. No, you gave us some very, very sharp points. I would press that here and we need to focus on those points which you gave in terms of the questions which was asked. Because, you know, I don't know what this is, what I'm going to do, but if you go back, if you can do the same, in my channel, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now, I will try to answer the question that we put and focus on those questions. And but I will also avoid the question that is related to the pressure concerning time bomb. I'll leave it that one. The family is coming up, it will tell the story what time the transit appear on the land. Security in the trains, yes. Our trains, they don't have security, and we as SACO, we have also committed ourselves to take a responsibility that we have to play. As you know, that the policy of our country in 1983 says we are a nation in building and a nation in transformation. We adopted that for those two policies. He said we must participate also, must not keep on complaining, but what is the role that we play to address those things? That's why we're having safety patrollers in 2008 to 2010. And to the slightly, these pictures were also, I believe, were forwarded. And the policy commuted, we do have also forwarded commuted charter, which speaks on its own. All the details that they concerning the issue of public transport. Concerning legal, local structure, how we compose, that's why you see us coming with the bus forums in different places. We do have provincial structures of circle, and we do have alliances of commuter forums, which are focusing on a particular locality or particular region where we discuss those things and put it together. We do exist. And even to to all nine properties of sexual within Kimberley. But you understand also that SACO is not funded by government, and a question have decided to fund business people like Santaco. From the beginning, business people are making money out of us, and we were not given any subsidy in all that. We are able to imagine every corner. But I will respect Chairperson not to reveal how much Santaco getting subsidy annually. The government is giving Santaco. I'll leave that one. Concerning Mulata roads, yes, we believe that there's a big problem that needs to be attended at Mulata roads. Mulata, we must remember, is not just a particular place. It's a huge place. It's Mpumalanga province, which the government of Mpumalanga does not have any control concerning public transport in Mpumalanga. Because the question, the answer is that because PACO belongs to Gauteng, then it cannot be given the subsidy in Mpumalanga province, which this thing to us is confusing. I would also agree also again that yes, we are 100% dedicated to address public transport. There are a lot of loopholes, and these things that they were discussed, the documents are there. The problem is that when the new administration comes in, political administration, they don't continue by open files and see where the problem, where this were done, where it's still standing to be continued, to do continuation. Those things are not happening now. It stopped during the time of Comrade or Honorable Minister Chapati. You remember during the time of late Maharaj, during the time of the late Minister Dilip Kumar, there was always a continuation. But after those three ministers, there was no more continuation. Everybody, when it comes to the start from afresh, that's why we will not see any improvement to integrating our public transport. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, that's all in addition. Thank you, sir. Some of the committee members actually asked about the relationship amongst ourselves and taxi industry and SACOA, and it is not answered to, but I will give you answers. We don't have any relationship with SACOA, and I think they are also not even interested into engaging us. They haven't even said anything about that. On taxi industry, as we are sitting there, we are having regular meetings with NTA. Almost on a weekly basis, we do have some meetings with the NTA. We also have some relations with SACOA itself. The other thing that we raised an issue about safety and the security of our commuters to show that we really care what we did on trains as the passengers are there, that women or people are getting pretty miles when holding these trains or when going to trains and after work. We had this safety patrollers on from 2008 to 2009 that was providing security, but we took the matter further to say to Plaza, because now this has come to an end and our people have been victimized again. We agreed with Plaza. We had that relationship with Plaza, and we agree. We do have an agreement with Plaza that they are going to start to take our people who will be providing safety and security on these trains. The MRE training was supposed to have started on this Monday, but because of the developments that are taking place within Plaza, that he didn't materialize. That is why you see my president is so angry. Because we provided Prasa with 400 police reservists. People who are trained already. Who are just going to be pressed to start doing a job on trench. So that program has been disrupted. So I just wanted to add on those things. I know you are trying to push us to stop now. Okay, thank you, Jeff.
No. Let me correct that one. One trying to push us to stop. You must do as other things you like them. Don't you? To all the prisoners who have done this way. But nevertheless, before we close our meeting, you know, I wanted to, from the department. And the ministry, department, you correct this thing. You are losing opportunities. You are losing opportunities. We must appeal to the DDG or the DG for that. We must appeal in such meetings. So I won't go to that one. Second, I don't know whether can I leave the department. I don't even tell them the finalists because it's already time up. Lunch is reaching for outside. Sir person, I'm consulting with you. Must I give them? Sorry? Yes. But next time we won't give them because you know why I raised this issue. Please don't send us junior officials. That's not a secret. You must never send us junior officials. Wait, Mama Khadi. Most of the time we are the same thing that the center must pose. I won't go deeper. I don't want to open that discussion. That's not the secret. Yesterday we had made some consultation and I've indicated that please, those people must have been themselves here. They must take us to us. Said to them, I'll give 5 minutes, not even 10 minutes, to anyone from the department if you want to comment something. Yes, you can.
Thank you, Mr. President and honorable members. I will restrict my input to a question that was asked to the Department of Transport, to public transport specifically, on the operations of the provincial regulatory entities, which I mean PRIS for short. And the question was on how do we assist the operators both for the taxi and the bus cab. The current arrangement is that through the National Land Transport Act, PRIS were established and guidelines were issued to provinces, so those are provincial establishments and provincial entities, and therefore their responsibilities lie specifically within the province. And guidelines were issued on how provinces should operate provincial regulatory entities. What we are doing from our side is trying to support the PRIS to exhibit these functions. We do get on a fairly regular basis requests for assistance, particularly for taxi associations who are having specific problems with a specific fee where there is an issue with us, and then we are able to then follow up those matters with the PRIS that are impacted on that particular matter. For instance, you know, you find that there are issues between the housing and the Northern Sea or Mpumalanga and so on. So we are able to assist those that raise specific issues with us. We then facilitate meetings with that particular thing and assist them to also try and expedite whatever the situation in terms of what the backlog are. We have also noticed a tendency amongst most of the police that they do tend to hide behind the lack of functioning or the non-functioning of the NLTIS system. And in most cases, you find that the situation, especially an administrative one, within the PRIS itself, because we have, on many instances, for instance, undertaken as a department to assist a particular PRIS to really open up certain applications within an NLTIS system that sits within our own transport information systems branch. We make undertakings to open certain applications, they give us a list, those applications open, and sometimes they even close the game. So most of the time we find that the issues are actually administrative within the provincial entity.
and we are trying to work around those challenges. The establishment of the National Public Transport Regulator is something that is still in the pipeline. It is set for establishment by March of next year. So currently there are some resourcing issues that have been sorted out because they need to appoint officials and buy equipment and everything so that they are then ready to start in March with the clerk offices and everything. So that the NCPR function, although it does not replace the functioning of a provincial entity, the provincial entities will continue to function and execute the provincial function, which is where the ICT function is currently is. But nationally, the NCPR will like, also be able to come and assist the police in that portion. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, you know, I see no lot of any number actually way to it. It's already come up for us. Let me explain something. If they with us or we want to raise something to the hands, that the members are supposed to go to the house. We're supposed to go to the house. And next time you have your opportunity, that's why we requested that some of the business additional information if you want to raise something, write it down. But nevertheless, I want to join the meeting. I want to thank you all who came and participated. But also, either those are the empower wins, but you please to ask for a justice. What is difficult if you weren't there for you to try and make it interaction with other stakeholders who you think that you are sharing with the team? Because if you can listen from us, you are concerned about your sharing the cake, but sharing for whom? If yourself you are failing to do your own homework. But nevertheless, I think we should give you an opportunity. And now, I would indicate that those who have parked their cars inside the hotel need definitely to this spot, they are little vouchers. And then I think also you are also invited. Invited, yeah. Food is ready. But what am I going to request? Members of the African National Congress, I request them to remain here. Then the others will go and join in the lunch. Then we will change the agenda.
Thank you.